Blog Talk Radio.
Here in Maryland, whenever you hear the tune, you know the destiny is the one. Yes, the West Indies are one, indeed. Straight for the West Indies, a series victory over England. But let me say good afternoon to members of the panel at this moment. We have with us Mercy Elizabeth. And of course, we have Jenny C. So pleasant good afternoon to you both, ladies. Mercy.
Good afternoon, Mr. Francis.
A very good
Mr.
afternoon Betty. To you.
How are you guys doing?
Good, and we are happy. Why are we happy? Because the West Indies won. Won not only win, but they won a series victory over England, the mighty England.
Yay.
And Dennis,
rally,
I'm sure you're happy.
Rally. Now time to rally
we
around.
We got to worry.
Yes,
to
good,
worry.
Good
rally,
afternoon
rally.
To you, Leon. Leon and Merches, good afternoon. And one additional piece of happiness, the West Indies ladies are in the semifinal of the World Cup. So,
okay.
Celebration all the way around.
There's no nothing called luck. It's hard work that brings you.
Hard work and dedication.
Yes, and dedication, of course. And we're through to the final, right? So... We can say bad luck while rain wash out that match against South Africa when we had them on the we had them in a nuzzle. But nevertheless,
yes.
Let's give God thanks for this day, and He's giving us an opportunity to present yet another show. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening. Thank you for all the pleasure that we have enjoyed today, and hopefully it will continue for a long time. We pray especially for our loved ones who are sick, my dear wife Eunice, and the mother of Merchis, Bobsy Nisbet, Dr. Leroy Lashley and his daughter Lisa, Connie Whitley, Ellie Matt, Edward Carter, Oliver Solomon, Merchis Nisbet, Elcomido Willett, Wentworth Francis, and Dennis Kelman as well. Isilma Cornelius, who also an Otto, Joseph Gunthrop Lord, and Willis and Mona Daniel, as well as Fillmore Hallpike and Dr. Roger Brown and all the others who have not expressed their concern. We are grateful that you have given us this opportunity to present another show. We are thankful for the people who made it possible, those who gave us financially and those who support us morally. We are grateful for this time this evening. We hope you'll let this show go on without any interruption, and trust that folks who will hear it will enjoy it immensely. We're grateful to have the presence of two of our ardent listeners and supporters and panelists on with me, and gratefully give us the hope that and the help that to make it enjoyable and entertaining. Thank you for what you've done for us in the past, and we trust that you'll just continue to help us. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Liam.
Anything in your neck of the woods, Murchis, you want to share with us? Anything that you think the world might want to know? Because you have fans all over the world now, you know. No, that's right.
Wow. Greetings to all the fans. And nothing new. It's same as usual. It's still winter time, even though it's a spring. So I'm staying inside, indoors, staying in the warmth. Nothing outside for me right now. Too cold.
Wow. Similar in your neck of the woods, Dennis?
Oh, no, not a great deal other than the fact that we're sleepless because out here the final match between South Africa and India went right through till about 3 a.m. California time. And, of course, you know, I had to stay up and enjoy the sight. It was a fantastic game, really was truly remarkable. So, yeah. Don't mind if I kind of dozed off halfway through the cycle because I'm sleep deprived, but
yes,
very happy. We're
trying to make you keep you awake with all the music and all whatnot we're going to talk about, and I'm sure you'll be happy to express your opinions about some of the things that we have witnessed during the past 2 days. And from what you folks have said to me and what I know, we are indeed a happy West Indian group. It's worth repeating that song again, but nevertheless, we'll do it one more time sometime during the show, all along the show. Just let me give you the outline so far as we have. Well, like you said, we anticipate. Okay, Jason Roy, he was fined and suspended. The ICC cricket is good for, ICC cricket for good for all of us.
ICC cricket for good. It's ICC headlines of what they're...
ICC for good. Okay. Let's welcome Audley in the meantime. Why don't you say good evening to your fans? You have Murchis ahead online, Audley. And you have Dennis as well.
Okay. So good evening, Mr. Francis and Ms. Murchis over there and all my fellow panelists. Of course, some will join a little later. And for Dennis, of course, it's still good afternoon for him out there in California. So good afternoon to you, Dennis. And I must say we're having a wonderful, wonderful view, wonderful Sunday evening here in this neck of the woods. We're very windy, very cool. When I say cool, I mean it's in the 70s, but it's very windy. So very, very, very nice weather. For those of you who are listening, who are still in the cold somewhere else in the United States, hey, Florida is open, particularly South Florida. Come
me?
On down and enjoy the
me?
Lovely weather.
Me?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Me?
Yeah, me.
Did you forget her?
All right.
Earlier, but I was just waiting for him to finish. Then he brought up all in the cold, so I just said, me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
great finish. Good, thank you so much. Let me give up the outline. Well, of course, the big news is that Joe Root's side, they slumped to a 10-wicket defeat in Grenada by the hands of the West Indies. And as a result of that victory, West Indies claimed a series victory and took home the bottom. And not took home, but kept the bottom Richards Trophy in the Caribbean. More on that to come, of course. Just to give you the scores up front, England 204 and 120, West Indies 297 and 28 without loss. The ICC World Cup, and the big news there is that the ladies, West Indies ladies, they have qualified, having
You're breaking up a lot, Leon. No, don't. You're breaking
South
up.
Africa, South Africa. Yeah. Okay. South Africa. I'm a little away from the mic. South Africa. I don't know if they helped South Africa, but South Africa helped us a lot by defeating India. India. It went down to the wire, and I'm sure we're going to have a lot to say for that. So there's four teams that are in the semifinals, England, Australia, South Africa, and the West Indies. We're going to talk more about that. The India Premier League have begun, and some exciting news because lots of West Indians are on show. And in one match today, we saw a West Indian getting the player of the match, Odean Smith, player of the match. Over in Antigua, we have the ABA, or AB Cricket, Antiguan Valley Cricket Association Super 40, picks Liberta Blackhawks. They beat up on Pickett Crushers, closing that match. Liberta Blackhawks, 233 for 9. Liberta Black Pickets, 233 for 9, and 100, and you see the scores are very small, 150 all out. So Liberta has won so many titles over the past year, it's worth repeating that they must be one of the winningest team in the Antigua, and many of their players have gone through to play for the West Indies. Rakim Cornwall, of course, just to name a few. Okay, Bangladesh tour of South Africa. Of course, the ODI series went 2-1 in favor of Bangladesh. Of course, the news out is that many of the players from South Africa have opted to take part in the IPL instead of playing at home. However, you wait and see. The first test match starts March the 31st, and the second will commence April.
Leon, you're breaking up back there, right?
Leon, right, true. You're breaking up badly, badly. You're not coming through at all.
Okay, am I coming through now? Am I coming through now?
Yeah, when you say that, I can hear you clearly.
Yeah, okay, good. Okay, let me sit closer to the mic. I tend to move away from the mic, but anyway.
No,
okay.
I'm talking about breaking up in pieces, like, that's what's coming through.
How am I now?
Okay, all right. Let's hear it.
Yes, okay.
We're not here.
Indian League. India
We've
Premier
gone
League.
Silent now.
Okay, go ahead, Dennis and Audley, then, and I'll just fix it for mine.
Okay. Well, why don't I pick it up for the ICC News Roundup and news brought to us courtesy of the International Cricket Council. And as mentioned earlier, Zubair Hamza was charged in anti-doping code. The International Cricket Council has charged South African batter Zubair Hamza with an anti-doping rule violation under the ICC anti-doping code. Hamza has been charged with the presence and or use of a prohibited substance.
You are now in the hood.
All right, we'll continue. Apologies for that little hiccup. So Hamza has been charged with the presence and or use of a prohibited substance following the detection of furosemide in a sample collected out of competition on January 17, 2022. And he has been provisionally suspended pending the outcome of the disciplinary process. ICC will make no further comment at this stage. More news. Jason Roy fined and given suspended 2-match ban. England opener Jason Roy has been fined £2,500 and given a suspended 2-match ban from international cricket for bringing the game into disrepute. Roy's banned from the next 2 England matches that he's eligible for and will be suspended for 12 months, depending on good behavior. The England and Wales Cricket Board announced the sanction in a statement on Tuesday, but did not disclose the reason behind the hearing and penalties. The ECB said that Jason Roy admitted a charge of conducting himself in a manner which may be prejudicial to the interests of cricket or which may bring the game of cricket, the ECB and himself, into disrepute in breach of ECV Directive 3-3. Roy last played for England in the T20 series against the West Indies in January. He has averaged 40.19 in ODIs, and England has a series against New Zealand, against Netherlands, coming up in June. More news. The ICC has announced cricket for good, and the statement says, while there may be debate about what the spirit of cricket actually means, the one thing that is undeniable is that cricket can be a force for good. Cricket for Good is the ICC's global community outreach program aimed at leveraging the vast power and reach of cricket to transform the lives of children and families worldwide. Cricket for Good, in partnership with UNICEF, works to tackle the issues facing children around the world. It is helping children have better food, water, health, and education, as well as protecting children from abuse and empowering children and young people with life skills. Now, next we will take a look at the ICC roundup of the World Cup cricket, the Women's World Cup. The qualification picture's taking shape with four of the eight teams at the ICC Women's Cricket World Cup 2022 set to be eliminated at the end of the group stage, which completed yesterday. Australia became the first team to qualify for the semifinal of the 2022 ICC Women's World Cup, while Pakistan are unlikely to advance, having lost four matches. Australia went unbeaten in all their matches and remain at the top. Bangladesh, two matches, and they first ever World Cup match win against Pakistan. They have a mathematical chance to qualify for the semi. Matches against England and Australia is unlikely to go in Bangladesh's column, however. England, the defending champions, with three early defeats, are fighting to stay alive, and victories in their two remaining matches against Pakistan and Bangladesh did see England reach the semi-final stage. India, with three wins and three losses, were due to play South Africa in their final match last night. Victory for India would likely have given them a semi-final spot. However, as we've seen and heard, India lost this match to a real nail-biter in the final over the final ball in the match. So India is out. New Zealand, with the one match remaining against Pakistan, is on the verge of elimination. Mathematically, with defeat of teams marginally above them, could see New Zealand edge into the semifinal, but as we can tell, that did not occur. Pakistan, four defeats in five matches means that Pakistan effectively are out of the semifinal group. And that is the end of the ICC news regarding the sources. If Leon's back, we can continue.
Yes.
Otherwise, I have additional news for you.
Are you hearing me? I'm back.
I'm here. Yes, clear. We seem to have cleared up some of those.
Audley, why don't you give us the inside edge? Why don't you give us the inside edge, Audley?
Audley may have stepped away.
Yeah.
I'm here. I put myself on mute because, Okay. So we've been focusing on the ladies' side of the cricket for this month. You know, World Cup ladies' cricket going on right now. So another inside edge with the ladies. So the ladies, cricketer with the most centuries in ODI when it comes to ladies' cricket. And we have, ta-da, Meg Lanning from Australia. She's sitting on top with 15 centuries in ODI cricket. followed by Susie Bates from New Zealand, 12 centuries. And we have in third position Charlotte Edwards from England with 9 centuries. The highest placed West Indian cricketer would be Stephanie Taylor. She has scored 7 centuries, and Hayley Matthews, 3. So on top is Meg Lanning from Australia, Bates from New Zealand, and Edwards from England. There we go, the inside edge for you. Back to you.
All right. Thank you so much for that, Audley. So always so refreshing and mind-boggling. Well, folks, why don't we just pick up and give you a chance to say what you have to say, Mr. Heath, anything, or start off my topic. We have a few minutes before we go into the inside edge, about 9 minutes, so why don't we take up
the birthday hour.
Yes, Leon. We have, you know, with West Indies victory over England in that series, we might just take a look at the men's test ICC ranking, in which we can see that we have Australia at the top the table with having played 23 matches, but they are currently number one on the table with a rating of 119. Followed by India, they've played quite a few matches, 35. They're second with a rating of 118. We have New Zealand in the third spot, England down there in fourth, South Africa fifth spot, Pakistan in sixth, Sri Lanka seven, and the West Indies at number eight, and their victory against in the series against England is unlikely to move them beyond that eighth spot. But nonetheless, it's a start of the climb, we can see. And then the number nine slot is Bangladesh with Zimbabwe at number 10. In the men's ODI ranking, we have New Zealand on the top of the table there with 121 in terms of rating, followed by England number two, Australia number three, India number four, South Africa is number five, Pakistan is number six, Bangladesh at number seven, Sri Lanka at number eight, and West Indies way down there at number nine, just sitting above Afghanistan. And if we look a little further, we have Ireland at number 11, and going all the way down to number 19 slot, the United States. And finally, we have Papua New Guinea at number 20 slot. And if we have time, we could also look at the men's T20 ranking.
Yes,
we have India at number one with a rating of 270, having played 42 matches. Followed by England in the number two slot, Pakistan in the number three slot, New Zealand number four. Remember, these are the T20 rankings. South Africa's number five, Australia number six, West Indies at number seven, Afghanistan number 17, Bangladesh at number nine, Sri Lanka at number 37, then we have number 11, Zimbabwe, United Arab Republic at 12, Nepal at 13, Namibia at 16, Netherlands 17. At number 20 slot is Singapore. Then all the way down to number 28, we have the United States, followed by Bermuda at number 32. And in the last place currently is Indonesia, and they have only played 3 matches, so it's not too difficult to understand why Indonesia is sitting there not too comfortably at the bottom of the table, having played only 3 matches. So here we have 91 teams in the T20 rankings, and we have 20 teams in the ODI rankings, and of course 10 teams in the test rankings. That's it, Leon. If you
yes, indeed.
Are back to you.
Yes, we just have about 5 minutes before the bottom of the hour, before we go into the Walter Henry birthday and anniversary hour. So, oddly, pick a little topic that is short and sweet so we can just dissect it until we come to that point.
Oddly may have muted itself.
May have muted.
I'm here because I try to be very quiet when I'm not speaking. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
So, this thing is just a little to do with the test cricket, really. So I was just analyzing the reason why the West Indies were successful in this series and why our batting, at least for two of the test matches, we lost all 5 days, although the matches were drawn. And when you look at it, you're talking about occupation of the wicket. Occupation of the wicket. In the first test match, the West Indies made 375 in the first inning. And they batted for 103 balls. 100 overs on the 3 balls. So say 100 and a half overs. Right? The second inning, they played for a draw. They made 147, and they batted for 70 overs plus one ball for a total of 170 overs and 4 balls, right? And only lost 14 wickets. In the second test match, the West Indies scored 411. But the big part about it is that the occupation of the crease, the West Indies batted for almost 188 overs, 178 overs and 5 balls. In the second over, they played for a draw once again, 135 for 5, and they batted for 65 overs. So it's a total of 232 overs and 5 balls the West Indies batted for the loss of 15 wickets. In the third and final test, of course, 297 runs prior to the series, and we would have maybe been bungled out for maybe 60 odd overs or thereabouts, if that much. But they batted for 116 overs and plus 3 balls, 116 and a half overs. So when we look at the performance of the West Indies in this series, we could say one of the big reasons why we came up trumps, even eventually we know today we won this series by winning this match, but the prior test matches, the reason why we were able to draw those matches is because of the players making the transition from the T20 mood to real test cricket. And when we see the occupation of the crease, and it is telling us once again, if you occupy the crease, the runs will come. And in this case, in these two cases, the first and second test match, we happened to draw the match because of the occupation of the crease. So that's one thing that was just popping out at me. So I made a note of it. And we're happy that a little later we can celebrate the great victory by the West Indies. Yes.
Yes. Yes, let's welcome Virgil. Virgil, you are still in Antigua or no? Your heart is in Antigua, but your soul is in Fort Lauderdale.
No, you have said beautiful city.
Beautiful city of Florida. Virgil, are you with us?
No. I'm in the beautiful city of Lauderdale.
I want you to correct me. Oh, you didn't. Yeah, we just want you to let you know that we're going into the birthday hour, so get ready as we prepare for the birthday hours and then the hour when we celebrate the Walter Henry birthday and anniversary hour. So we're going to start a little early so we can get that out of the way, and then we go right back into the cricket. So why don't you take it away, Audley? Happy birthday. Let me play, give a little few bars.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Walter Henry Birthday and Anniversary Hour. It is the time of the evening when we take a look in the cricketing fraternity and we say, happy birthday, happy anniversary, or if you just want to give us a call, it's 515-605-9850, 515-605-9850. It's the Walter Henry Birthday and Anniversary Hour. And, of course, today is the 27th of March. Oh, March is just marching its way out of here.
March.
Can you believe it? Yeah, can you believe it? Today is the 27th. So we start with, as we go along and give the birthdays and anniversaries, you know, an occasional footnote and individuals from time to time. Okay, so as I said before, the 27th of March today marks 2 years since Jamaican singer Bob Andy, he died. Bob Andy, 2 years since he died. Back he, no. Today is his birth. Yeah, that is it. Bob Andy, he died 2020 on the 27th of March. And Derek Morgan, another Jamaican. I heard recently that he died, but seemingly it seems as if it's not true. I don't know. But he was born back in 1940, Derek Morgan, giant of a man. Okay, cricket, Xavier Marshall from Jamaica, now represent the United States in cricket, and Beverly Brown out of Trinidad and Tobago, Roger Telemas, and Imran Tahir from South Africa, George Griffin from Australia, Sarah Javed from Pakistan, Carl Brickenstock from the Netherlands, George Hearns from England, Seth Burke, Chris Brown. Chris Brown is an umpire from New Zealand. And we have Shandy Rakamansinghe from Sri Lanka, and Gabby Lewis and Mark Adair from Ireland. For the 28th, we have Mr. Francis Cousin out there, Miguel Francis, sprinter from out Antigua Barbuda.
Born in Montserrat.
Okay. Yeah, but he lives in well, he's now representing, he's representing England?
Yes.
But Mr. Miguel Francis, yes, out there. So he'll be celebrating his birthday come tomorrow. Margaret Lockwood and Sarah Clark, two female cricketers from England, along with former cricket captain Nasser Hussain. Roy Emery and Sarah McGlashan from New Zealand. Pally Umrigar, former captain of England, of India rather. Sarah Mullins and Sonia Rimsbottom from Ireland. Ashok De Silva from Sri Lanka. Shafiq Ahmed and Atul Rahman from Pakistan, Andy Withall from Zimbabwe, and Matt Renshaw from Australia. For the 29, we have Leslie Hilton from Jamaica, West Indies, and another, Thou Shall Not Bowl, Yutan Dow, another former fast bowler, yeah, from out of Jamaica as well. Jeff Howard from New Zealand, Sam Laxton, Michael Nasser and Dan Nash from Australia. Tom Haywood from England. We have Subhimil Sundaran from India. And we have Logi Njidi, super fast bowler. For the 30th of March, we have the test debut as arguably the best all-rounder that ever played cricket, Sir Garfield Sobers. He made his debut back in 1954 versus England, Sir Garfield Sobers. Chuck Fleetwood-Smith, Wally Grout, Martin Love, and Sarah Goyt, all from Australia. Norman Gifford from England, Jack Corey from New Zealand, and Mike Smith from Scotland. For the 31st of March, yeah, we're talking about the birthday of the man that was born 1878, the first black heavyweight champion of the world, Jack Johnson. Yes, and he beat Tommy Burns from Canada when he won the title back in 1908, and he lost it in 1915. Big history on that, but we'll just skip for today. Fred Smith, Clement Johnson, Jeffrey Lawrence, and Hassim Amla, all from South Africa. We have Marlon Vogt from Sri Lanka, Larry Miller, Robert Vance from New Zealand, Atav Gul from Pakistan, and Paul Grayson from England, Adam Zampa from Australia. For the 1st of April, All Fool's Day, as we call it, Jimmy Cliff, the harder they come, of Jamaica, actor, singer, everything, Jimmy Cliff, will be celebrating his birthday then. John Murray from England, along with Ernie Sidebottom, David Gough, former captain, John Morris, Walter Maid, and Jeffrey Archer from Barbados represent England. Stephen Fleming and Sue Brown from New Zealand. Tab Baloch from Pakistan. And Shiman Khan, female cricketer out of Pakistan as well. Balwinder Singh Sr., Ajit Wadekar, Murali Vijay from India. Admiral Ismail from Bangladesh. Haino Karnt from South Africa. For the 2nd, which will be this Saturday, finally, Garnet Silk, musician out of Jamaica, who was tragically killed with his mother sometime in 1994. He was killed in some gas stove or whatever, blown up on the, he and his mother, but they were both killed. Okay, so Garnet Silk on that day, and won their 2nd World Cup title in 2011. Yep, that's a celebration for Saturday. And the West Indies men won the T20 World Cup in 2016. Yep, we've got that one. Birthdays, Marvin Gaye. Yeah, he was born 1999. Mm-hmm. Marvin Gaye. And Neville Cardus, a sports writer out of England, along with Dermot Reeves, cricketer, and Myrtle McLaren. From Australia, we have Ken McLean and Michael Clark, former captain, one of the triple centurions in Test cricket. Richard Pollidge and Tom Latham from New Zealand. Mohammed Hassan and Farooq Zaman from Pakistan. Narul Haq from Afghanistan. And Lizan Lee is very active right now in the Women's World Cup from South Africa. And that's what I have here for you. Back to you, Leon. I'll come back with the individual birthday.
Just one note there. You said Marvin Gaye,
1939.
Oh, okay. 1939. Okay, good. Okay. Now, we're going to turn the batting over to Virgil. Virgil, come on in. You brought some birthdays from Antigua. Tell us all about them. Virgil is mute too? Okay, well, why don't you pick it up, Dennis, until Virgil is unmute.
Anniversary. Go ahead, Virgil.
No. Go ahead.
Oh, my anniversary celebration, not me personally, but my brother up there in Hartford, Connecticut, my brother Stanley Heath Jr. and his lovely wife, Caroline, they celebrate an anniversary on the 29th, so I want to take an early opportunity to reach out and wish them both a very happy anniversary and have a wonderful day. That's my celebration for this week, Leon. It's back to you and Virgil.
Yes, indeed. Virgil, pick it up, Virgil.
Okay. First, let me say good evening to all the panelists and good evening to all the listeners. I don't have no birthday. But one thing I want to clear up what Audley said, I think Miguel Francis, he said he was born in Montreal, right? But also he's representing England. But he's not representing England. He's representing Great Britain. So we got to let the world know that he's representing Great Britain.
Okay. You call
but
it Great
I
Britain.
Don't, yeah, I don't have no birthday. And Montserrat, well, once you're born in Montserrat, you also have your British passport because Britain, they never get independence itself from Britain. But it's nice to know. I hope he's running faster because I haven't heard anything about him, really.
No. Okay.
Can Virgil clarify that statement about Great Britain? Can you repeat that?
No, I said he's representing Great Britain, not England.
Well,
is one of the same.
What is this?
No. Let me explain myself.
Yes.
Great Britain is the country. England is not a country. It's just like you say Florida. Florida is not a country. If you're from Florida and you're representing the United States, you're representing the United States.
Virgil, you have it all wrong. How the Englishmen don't come out here and say they're representing Great Britain? They're representing England.
Okay, I'm asking a question.
Yeah.
Do you ever see an English passport?
Yes.
I'm not talking about the passport.
No one has an English passport. You have a British passport.
Well, you have a British passport. It makes no difference. Hello,
you got to give me a break to say one thing. United States have 50 states that make up United States. Okay? None of them is country that make up United States. Britain have, they call them Providence. You got England, Scotland, Wales, and Northern Ireland that make up United Kingdom, which is Great Britain.
Mm-hmm.
Scotland cannot say they have their own passport. They have a British passport. Wales cannot say that, and Northern Ireland cannot say that they have a British passport, and that is the country.
If you
go and look it up yourself, you do not have an English passport. Virgil, hold on. Let's move on.
You're trying to bring controversy in when nothing is here. You only hear
England in cricket and football. When you come to the Olympics, you never hear England. You hear Great Britain. They call the country name. That is what they call the country name, not the Providence name. England football, cricket football, yes. They call themselves England because they don't take no one from nowhere else.
Let's see if Donna has something to say to us, folks. Come on, let's move on. Donna, are you with us today? Donna, are you with us? No, Donna is not with us. That line is not responding. So, okay, how about you? Okay, let me just say that there's not much to celebrate this day, but we just hope and pray that George Jackson get nominated and will go through to the Supreme Court judge. I'm praying for her because the most important thing, my son, she went to the same school with my son. So, and she lived nearby where we lived in Miami. So I'm so happy for the young lady. I don't know if I have met her. She probably was a young lady when we left down there. But nevertheless, we wish her well. That's my take. Anybody else? Merchants? Nothing from you. But no. It's not a birthday. But you may have something you want to share with us. Do you?
No.
Okay. All right.
Okay. I have one birthday. It's one of my neighbors that we grew up together. They were much bigger than I am, and her dad's brother was married to my grandmother. So, we're like family. She's up here in Canada, Connie Cuff. She will be celebrating on Friday on All Fools Day. I never forget her birthday, All Fools Day. But she's no fool, I can tell you. A smart woman. So happy birthday to you, Connie, when it comes, Mrs. Cuff. And Saturday will be the beginning of Ramadan, the Islamic time of fasting and so forth. Saturday will be the beginning of Ramadan.
Anybody else? That's what I have here.
So if nobody else, so I'll just close out this.
No, let me just play a song before you close out, Audley.
Okay.
Can I play a song for all the celebrants today? This song I dedicated to all of you folks.
Thank you very kindly, ladies and gentlemen. Woo! All right. Listen.
business is good. Good for the morale. Good for the spirit, especially you, James. I'm watching you. Those hands going. Want everybody in the back to clap. That's it. And just a minute. Want everybody in the house to do some singing. Yeah. You're a good singer.
Clapping and foot stamping there by Leon Francis. Sounds like Junior Walk on the All Stars. I'm not sure. Maybe it's more modern, but So this has been the Walter Henry Birthday and Anniversary Hour. And just before I go, I just want to say thanks to you who have been listening all over the world, whether you are in Asia, Australia, the Caribbean, right here in the United States. Yeah, keep listening, and each one tell one. Tell them, let them know that we are here on Sundays from 6 to 9 p.m. And we have the birthday and anniversary hour at 6:30 in the p.m. So join us next week when once again we're doing all over the Walter Henry Birthday and Anniversary Hour. Back to you, Leon.
Yes, indeed. And before we broke off, oddly, you were not completing what you had to say, or you were nearing the end about the West Indies.
I was just talking about the occupation of the pitch and how important that was. So, if anything, I could pick up on. I'll come back later with the. Discussing the matches itself.
Yeah, okay. Yes, no, I just want to add to what you say, because they occupy the crease. But what I noticed in particular was prominent was the never say die attitude of the team. It reminds me of the Darren Sammy team. When they were down, they buckle up and do what has to be done. Could you imagine we have players like Gabriel behind there, you know, and we're in that situation, what would have happened? That's why I always ask that when once you are playing cricket, you have to learn to bat, because you're going to have an opportunity to bat at some stage or other. You're not going to be always called to bowl. Not many people are asked to wicket keep, but you have to bowl and you have to see. So these two areas you must.
Bat and field.
Virgil, why don't you give us your take?
And I did not know. I heard that the West Indies win. I know yesterday I was watching it. I see England was like, I think 7 or 8 wicket down and only have like about 10 or 20 runs in the lead. But I did not get to see the game today. So at least I heard you guys were saying West Indies win. So at least I'm feeling happy for them, but I did not know the complete outcome of the game.
Not only did they win,
we
but
won
they win the series.
Big time.
Mm-hmm. And they win the series as well.
And how much did we get to win?
28
okay.
to win.
And we won without losing a wicket. We won by 10 wickets.
Wow.
Yeah, massive.
But that was that was good. That was good for those guys, man. I mean, that will make, I mean, you know what I saw when they were showing when that guy made his 100 and they was interviewing him? You can see the passion, and he even cried like, he really wanted to play it to that level, and he was talking about his mom and his dad, how they, you know, would take him to the game, take him to practice, take him, you know, all his time coming up, wanted him to reach somewhere. I know at least he make the first 100 for the West Indies, and, I mean, at least he had tears, man. So that was tears of joy, and I'm really happy for him, and I hope that he continue and go further, because just to see that tears come out of his eyes, that means he's really passionate for the to play for the West Indies, and he's hungry to make more runs. And I'm really happy for him.
Question, on that note, do you see Dulwich coming back with this guy playing so well soon?
I think he'll have to be a sick guy. Something, some injuries or something. Not that Dawood did not represent us well, but the silver has been very consistent over the past few matches. Well, from the moment he came in, because on his debut, I think he made something like 90 or if it was not his debut in the same series, he just missed out on his first 100 then. And he's keeping well. He's doing a good job behind the wicket. And many times, he came in and whenever he comes in, he gives us some very good contribution. The runs may not be a whole lot, but he's one of those guys who occupy the crease too, and make sure that whatever is going to happen, they'll have to fight for it. You know, the opposition, and. So I don't think Dow should have to go somewhere and, in some other match and hit like big double centuries after double centuries and do well behind the sum to even be considered to come back in the West Indies team. I'm not saying he won't, but right now, as it is, the silver is doing the job. Very good job.
I'm not sure that Audley was correct in saying that Da Silva's first series, because remember he played for the West Indies in the COVID affected matches in the UK in 2019, I think it was. Or
he played the test match. And the test match.
Yes, remember West Indies toured England that.
Yes, I remember. Well, I stand corrected. That's why I'm saying I'm not sure. I appreciate that. I remembered when he toured, was it Bangladesh? And I know that's when he came to prominence.
Right, because England and they went on to tour Bangladesh right after the England tour. I have to admit that I watched him play in the English series that year. And I was disappointed with his, production, and not his wicket keeping, but his production. He did not do very well, and I was wondering if he had what it really would take to become a good player. Then, of course, he went out to Bangladesh, and he did set his stars alight at that point. And ever since that period, I think he has grown. In almost, I'm tempted to say exponentially, because he has grown to the point where I see him as a very reliable midfielder. And I at one point I wondered if we should perhaps have him batting a little higher up. But on reflection, you know, because of the brittleness of the middle order, I think he's coming in at just about the right place to stabilize things. And so I appreciate and congratulate him on his maiden 100, and I can tell you it was well earned. He really fought very hard for that one. Back to you, Leon.
Yes, indeed. How about you, Virgil?
Pass me for now. I was out for a little bit, so I didn't hear the whole thing.
Okay, let's welcome Jason. Jason, you're on.
Good evening, listeners.
Evening,
sir.
Hey, evening, Jason.
Nothing new from
Come
my
on
side. I'm just trying to swing by.
Okay, Leon.
Is he saying something to us or no?
No, he's just swinging by. He's just swinging
by. No, I said I have nothing new to say anything about it. Let you know that I'm totally tied up until April 5th. That is the launch date for the Who is Who in cricket. So kind of really busy with around the world, many countries to get going with that project at the moment.
All right.
I hear you.
When you say swinging by, I thought you were swinging ball.
This is not a bouncer.
So Virgil, he did not hear the other part that he was tied up. Okay.
Yes, so Dennis, did you make your presentation on the Western triumphant victory? Or?
No. I really wanted to, on the West Indies side, I wanted to look first at the women's, the fact that our West Indies women made the quarterfinal. You know, it is a
really
great
thing. Let's finish off this first, Dennis. Nothing to talk about the West Indies victory. Just give us. We'll come to that.
Oh, well, yes. I'm sorry about that. I have to reach out and congratulate the West Indies player, and I agree very much with points raised previously by Audley regarding the way the West Indian batters have come out in this particular series and seemingly have found their, dare I call it, their backbone. They've found what it takes to perform. And, you know, I was delighted to see that Mayers did so well with the ball, and, of course, he did make some contribution with the bat. But what was disappointing, I heard a commentary from, it was Courtney, not Courtney,
yeah.
Sorry,
Sir
not
Kurt
Courtney. Sir Kurtley Ambrose was very disappointed with comments that he had heard or read about Carl Mayers, and he had some very strong points to make on the fact of his appearance and how he has performed. And so I had to reach out too and said that I was very impressed with Mayers, and somebody suggested that England batters were performing very poorly, and that is why Mayers actually got those wickets.
But the
truth of the matter is, when you observed, if you observed and saw the match itself, you will recognize that it was sheer hard work and tremendous ball movement that he created. He bowled very much like the West Indies, we saw bowlers of the 60s with a lot of movement, a lot of concentration, good length deliveries. And he mesmerized the English batters. And that's how his success came about. And so I take my hat off to Mayers, and I look forward to him becoming a regular in the team. Now that we seem to have sort of solidified an 11, I think that he should be part of it. The only question is whether or not we will find room for a spin bowler who has the ability to produce some runs over time. But that's it, Leon. I'm very pleased with the performances all around. And back to you.
I'm going to ask the panelists some questions. The man of the match was named as Joshua De Silva. Are we all in agreement or somebody differ? Anyone different
in
that?
I'm saying in some cases I'd rather see player of the match being cheered, because you have right now Kyle Myers, the way he turned things around bowling, and I don't know, maybe just tilt little in favor of the silver, because the fact that he stayed there and held things to the end. And much praise is not being given to Jason Steele for staying there with him and see that he complete his century. You know, we need to big up Jason Steele right now. But in the end, maybe I'll just say yes, with the silver.
But Jason Steele as well as Roach and Joseph.
Oh,
they
played
a part too. Those were two guys played a part to all of them. And you know, what I usually talk on the show, you know, there's no room for rabbits in any form of cricket now. Everybody should be able to hold their own.
You have said that time and times again. Back to 100%. You have said that over and over, Leon. That's true.
Next question. Would you say the pitch was a bowler-friendly pitch, or it gave support to each side, or each factor, or each element of cricket?
Leon, you know,
yes.
Over the last couple of weeks, we've reported on ICC referees downgrading and literally making accusations and very definitely bad comments about pitches not being friendly to bat and ball and so on. And my take has always been that both teams have the players, and the match is played between the two sets of players on the same pitch. So grading a pitch in terms of whether or not it's, you know, it does something for the batter or something for the ball, it's in my opinion, it's definitely a misjudgment and a mischaracterization. So, you know, I'm waiting to hear if they are going to make some kind of a comment about the pitch. But certainly, in my estimate, England had the same opportunity that the West Indians had. They had bowlers of repute. So I will take nothing away from them. The pitch has absolutely no great advantage to one or the other. It's just a matter of who used it best. That's you.
Anybody has anything to say on the
let me say something there. Most of the time, everybody always gives credit to the batman, right? Everything is about the batman. Now, I think someone was saying about they were saying something about, I said, Kyle Myers is the one that get the wicket, right? And they were saying something about him, like the English guys that bat terrible or bat bad or whatever you call it. Nobody never really put down and give the credit to the bowler. I saw outside the half stump, this guy leave alone a ball and the ball swing back in and bowl it. If that was normal, the ball was going straight. Mm-hmm. The ball swing back in and bowl him. So you have to give the credit to the bowler. And I mean,
my point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You hear commentators talking. Everybody always come back, man. Oh, you bat bad, they bat bad. No, man, the bowler, he did good because, you know something? He swing the ball. And if you swing in the ball in and away, you are making great potential for your future. Mm-hmm. And you're doing good for your country. Because if you bowl the ball straight, leave alone the ball gone. Once you have ball swinging, it's hard for the batman to really play your ball and leave alone your ball. And that is what we want in the cricket. I always say we want a left-hander who swing the ball. And if you have a right-hander who can swing the ball, what more could you ask for? And I'm really happy for the young man, and I hope he continue. And as long as he get ball to swing, he will be a long time in West Indies team as long as he get ball to swing. Because you can have a real fast bowler. And sometimes some guys are afraid of the speed, but the ball comes straight on you. All you got to do, leave it alone. Bouncer, leave it alone. But with you, even a slow bowler and swinging the ball, you cannot leave my ball alone because you don't know what my ball is going to do. So I'm really happy for that. And we have to start to give credit where credit is due. Cricket is not about the batman alone. Otherwise, the batman alone with a player, you wouldn't have no bowler. So when the bowler takes cricket and do good, we have to give them credit.
Yeah, I think that batsman was Lawrence that left that ball alone, you know, and that ball came back about a foot and a half, and he was trapped in front. Yeah, Lawrence. And that ball that he cleaned up Lewis. Don't forget, Lewis was out there batting. I mean, 90 something balls for 31, and that ball comprehensively knocked the stump out. I mean, he just played over the ball. It kept low, and when he thought he had it covered, but then he heard the death rattle behind him when he turned around. You know?
He was in shock.
Yeah.
Many of you were watching cricket when Lily and Matthew came to England. You saw it, Dennis? You remember it?
I saw
Lily
some of
Matthew.
It, yes. I saw a lot of it.
And
yes,
Lily was running the English. And the guy was born in a little medium space, just like what this guy was born in. And he get a bunch of wickets. And Lily was doing the hard work on the other end. Guys were running and jumping and prancing. And this guy just was swinging the ball. In swing and out swing, a Yorker. And he got a bunch of wickets.
That was his debut match where he took 16 wickets, 18 innings. Bob Massey. The other thing, Leon, if you finish asking the questions,
I have some more questions to ask the panel.
Yeah, go ahead.
But go ahead. You got a comment on something we talked about?
My comment would be, you know, for years, test matches have been over in 3 and sometimes enter the 4 days. And it's always very rare that the West Indies have been on the handing out side of it. We have always been on the receiving end. We've been a match been goal and three and West Indies are bowled out, we collapse and it really pleased me a lot to see this time the match was over very early on the 4th day and we were dishing out the punishment. I'm happy for that.
Gentlemen, you guys' impression of Holder, you think Kohler is tired or he just wasn't able to come up? What went wrong? Because in my view, he was below par. Anybody feels that way? Like I feel he's tired.
Well, Leon, I wouldn't characterize it as not producing. I think that was the word I thought I heard you said.
Yes.
But I think over the last 2 years or so, Holder has played a tremendous amount of cricket. He's in almost every team. I think
all
it is
format.
Time that we should give him a rest. Not because he's not producing or because he doesn't have it left in him, but simply because he's deserving of a break. We know how valuable he is to the team, and he can be even more valuable if we can give him a break and bring him back after a 2 or 3 match rest. So definitely we might miss his ability to hold on to those, very difficult catches and the high ones like he did yesterday. So we might miss it, but we need to give him a break so that he can recharge his batteries because he really is a tremendous worker and he must be tired. Back to you, Leah.
Anybody else on that topic before we move on?
I was watching him running in, and I'm saying, you know, when you look at how much miles per hour he's coming, it's way big. He has never been a tear away fast bowler. I think one season that he really bent his back and was bowling, you know, some fast deliveries, very super fast deliveries. Otherwise, you know, he's not known for being a speedster. But he was bowling even slower and things. Very economical, Mark. Very economical. But he was really not delivering the stuff that you would say threatening to get the batsman out at any time. So I think I'll join Dennis's saying that he need to get some rest because he has been playing in all of the formats, all of the ICC-recognized formats, the test, the ODI, and the T20. So, yes, give him some rest. I agree with you, Dennis.
Yes, indeed. He needs some rest. And knowing that he has to be involved in the IPL, he got a single contract.
Right.
So,
big contract.
So he's going to have to produce because we don't want to see him on the bench anymore. He has been on bench for a while when there were only 8 teams. Now there are 10. He should be batting. Now, should there be any call for okay, what is the response to the critics now? Should Simmons go? Should Skerritt go? Should the bowling coach go? Should the batting coach go? Now that you have a wicket, give us your opinion, folks. One at a time.
Well, Leon, I've always been almost months, I've been campaigning, at least making my opinion known that I think that the coach should go. And this victory and this performance this time around does not change my belief. I think he's long past due to go. You know, we have different players now with Desmond, Dr. Haynes, and Sarwan up there now helping with the team selection, but the coaching is still below par, and I think it's time for the coach to go, not the president of the association, but the coach. He's overdue. Back to you.
Okay. How about you, Audley? What do you think? Do you think the coach should be relieved of his services and replaced?
I've been saying for a long time that I think coaching at a certain level, I think, is overrated. Right? Once the players are coached, right? They were coached coming from the 15, you know, age group, under 19, and so forth. I don't think at this level it's too much of a big thing to have a coach. There are things that can be tweaked, and I totally agree with that. But then a lot of things happen without the coach. I would say happen in spite of having the coach. So when the victory, the coach is going to cheer and jump in it and yeah. And when defeat, he's going to take the blame. Sometimes it's not his fault because it doesn't matter how you coach a player. When they get out there, they are all on their own. So I'm not so much big into the coach at this stage. So it doesn't matter here or there to me. And of course, the big thing would be that lawsuit again, because as I stated first on this program, is that I would not have. Knowing that the first time how the relationship end between the coach and Cricket West Indies, end up with Cricket West Indies paying a lot of money to Simmons, I would not have given him a three-year contract. The maximum I would have given is 2 years. So, you know, it's there already, so it doesn't matter here or there to me.
But would you have paid him off? Because there's a contract. If you pay him off, he has nothing to sue you about. If you pay him off, if you have the money. Can we do that? Would you agree to that?
I have no idea. I'm not a legal mind, so I don't know. But you don't want to do that. No, you rightly say if we have the fund, because Cricket West Indies don't have it. So you don't want to be paying him off and then paying a new double payment. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. How about you, Virgil? Would you relieve the coach? Would you relieve the president of West Indies Cricket Board? Because people are calling
for
them to be removed.
I don't know about
when they lose.
I just want when the guys pick the team, they pick the rights of the guys, and I don't want them to be biased and because of where you come from. They want to leave you out, or if they don't like you, they want to leave you out. That is one of my big problems. The coach not making these players play the way how these players play. These players, this is how these players want to play, and no matter what no coach do or say, the coach only can tell you if you see you doing something out there wrong or something like that and try to work on your weak spot. But for you to get there, The coach can't make you go no further unless you want to go further in what you how you're performing. So the performance, don't blame the coach for that. I'm blaming the players because these are the ones that go out there and play that kind of way. If they want to do better, all they gotta do like what Shanda Paul do, buy a bowling machine and practice themselves over and over and over. And that will help them along the way. But I don't think these guys really do. Glad to say they win the game, though. But these guys not doing that. And that's why if Shanda Paul could score and Shanda Paul could bat, he changes position and doing all kind of stuff. But Shanda Paul make cricket look simple. But sometime after he get old, he's not pushing around the ball to score, really. But it just to show you the difference. You have to practice. That is your job, and you have to practice a lot. And I don't think these guys work on themselves enough, especially their weak spots. They don't work on that enough. So the coach, no matter what the coach said, coach take them out a couple of days and whatever, but you go home, you got to work on your game because that is your game and you want to improve. Somebody was talking about Jason Holder need to be rested because of this. Rested for what? If West Indies probably not playing no more test match until another 2 months or maybe how long from now. The other thing they're going into is in June. So why would you rest him in what time you're resting for? There's no test match playing. Now after this game is finished, where is he going? He's going on to the IPL. So what are you going to do, rest him from the IPL? No, them guys don't want to rest. Them guys need to be playing cricket so at least they can get better. Because, I mean, June from now we're going to play a game. It don't make no sense. As I said, don't make no sense to say you're going to rest somebody because then he can't play no other game than if you're going to rest him. You know, so then guys just need to perform. That's all I got to do, perform when they go there.
Big question for the panelists. On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate the following players? Bradford, Campbell, Bonner, Blackwood, Brooks, Mayer, Holder, De Silva, Seal, Sale, Roach, and Josie. You go first, Virgil.
Bradford. All of them probably rate 4 or 5, no more than that.
Oh, come on.
not because they win a game, but, I mean, you can't go to say, oh, I give this guy 10 or something. No. Now you're pushing him over.
Virgil.
Listen to this. No. Now, if I give them
that's
that,
his opinion,
they will perform. Here what happens. If I give them the 4, they will try to perform to get better. But if you give them an 8 or 9 or something like that, I'm at the top, so I don't have to do nothing else. That's how they put it in their mind. But no,
they deserve.
We're talking about just for the last game.
Yeah, one at a time. Everybody's gonna get a chance. Let Virgil finish, Virgil.
No, you're talking about for the last game or the overall series.
The series.
For the last game.
No, I ain't gonna give him all
the last game.
I always say the last game. You can put it to the series because all them didn't play. I talked about.
I ain't gonna give them more than 5. I need better out of these guys, then.
Let's take them one at a time, rate them individually, not en bloc. I mean,
one. Well, he said, so I called the first one already. Bradford. How do you rate Bradford, Virgil?
I ain't gonna give him more than 5.
Okay.
I would give Brathwaite at least an 8, right?
Wow!
Because Brathwaite was named the man of the series. The guy was very prolific with his scoring. He captained the side well, and he was there in the end to administer the winning run. He has been performing over the entire season. Right, so you have to give him his props when it's due to him. Right, I know Leon was very hard on him, and you know,
yeah,
and I know Ivor too. You know about because he's too slow and stuff like that. But I'm seeing nowadays when he's batting with Campbell, he's even outscoring Campbell. You know, so Campbell and himself exchange spots. You know, but the guy batted well during the series, and he was named Man of the Series. So you can look at it and give him a
high. How about you, Dennis?
Leon,
what do you say? What do you say?
I would give him a 10. Because he has been, yes, because if you think of the series, where would West Indies have been
without
that
him.
Tremendous performance? He's held the West, he's been like the glue in the West Indies side for this entire series. So he's deserving of a 10. At the minimal, it's 9, but I would give him a 10. Back to you.
Yeah, I'm going to move mine up to 9. I'm going to move mine up to 9.
No, Arthur, you can't move now. That's already
my pencil has a rubber. Leon, my pencil has a rubber.
No, you can't change your vote, man. That's gone in the internet already. Everybody heard it over the world. I'm going to say 9. I'm going to give Bratchett a 9. And I am one that was saying West Indies can never have a good winning team unless Bradford either improve on his technique at the wicket, go a little faster, and let them respect him. And I've seen that the guy has done, make a complete turnaround. He deserved to get a 10, but I'm just giving him a 9, because I don't think he was perfect. How about Campbell, folks? Give me your take, Virgil. Campbell.
How much game did he play?
All three.
If Bradford gets, if Bradford gets 5, I ain't getting more than 4.
See, okay. Oddly, your take on Bradford?
That's one I think Virgil looks generous. I'll give Campbell a 3.
3? Oh, no.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can't go below me.
No, I would.
Oh, yeah, we're talking about Campbell here.
Yeah. I think Campbell has had 2 reasonably average scores, and his performance to date, I think I'd rate him a 5, Leon.
Okay, you say 5. Okay. I say 4. How about Bonner? Gentleman Bonner. Virgil, your take on Bonner.
I don't know all of his stats, but I think he played all 3 games. I'm not going to move no more than 4 with these guys.
Okay.
I need something to take a needle up.
Audley, give me your take on
Bonner. Bonner, I'll give Bonner an 8. He did not score well in the last 2 innings and stuff like that, but he has been like the Superman, especially the first test when he stood up to the attack and stayed there, batted for a very long period. 100 and so forth. So I'll give Bonner an 8.
An 8. How about Dennis?
Yes, I would agree with Audley. Bonner had that 100 in the first innings in the first test, and then he scored a 38 second innings, a 38 not out in the first test.
Not out.
Although he was pretty sort of average and unlucky in the other second test and possibly this one. I would give him an 8 as well as like Audley.
Mm-hmm. And I will follow suit. I'll give him an 8 too. I believe he deserves. How about Blackwood, folks? Let me change up. Let me go with me first. I'm going to give Blackwood a 7. How about you, Audley?
I'll give him a 6.
Okay. How about you, Dennis?
Well, remember Blackwood in the second test, he scored a well-deserved 102.
102.
And then
he
followed in the second innings of the second test with a well-deserved 27 when our backs were up against the wall. So in that case, I am inclined to give him at least the same as I gave the last one. I'd give him an 8.
8, yes. You give him an 8. Mm-hmm. And don't forget, Virgil, what's your take?
Number 4.
You're a hard-ass master. What about Brooks? Danny, Virgil. Brooks? Give us your take.
books. Four. I can't give them guys more than four, man. I mean,
all right.
I want to see guys. This guy was actually, you stay in the wicket long, but even guy was actually scoring. You stay in the wicket long, maybe half of a day, and you only make 30-something or something, not out. I can't really pump you up for that, man. This is cricket. We need win, if we need runs. And I cannot, because you're staying wicket all day and give me 50, I'm going to give you something good to stay in. No. You got to work hard for that, man.
But Virgil, suppose that is what is required at the time. You know, it depends on the match, you know, the position of the match, and that is what is required. So you can't just give Mark them like that because that's what exactly what is needed.
The cricket that I used to listen to before I started seed, it did not work that way. It just make cricket look hard. If you watch some of these guys, understand time change, but if you watch some of these guys play, you swear cricket is the hardest sport to really play or something like that, because this guy just can't get away the ball, can't push it away from the fielder.
Okay, let's go.
I can't pick them up for that. When they start to do that, then I can fight, you know something?
Let's move on. Brooks. We have a lot to cover.
Brooks. He's only had one innings of 39 in three test match that worth remembering. Mm-hmm. And I think for that, yes, I would definitely rate him at three.
Three. Oddly, how old do you rate Brooks?
I'll give him a four. I'll give him a four. Three or four, but I'll just stay the four.
I'll give him a three, like Dennis. I'll do that. How about you, Virgil, for mayors now?
Well,
as
Dennis, give that stat. The first time I'm going to agree with him and give him a three. I need to see runs, not in not stay in there for 5 days and make 100, and then you get 8 or 9 or something like that. That cannot work.
Virgil, you haven't watched much of the cricket.
Yeah.
I'm asking, have you watched much of the cricket?
Some of the game I get to watch, not all of them.
Okay, I know. All right. That's all I want.
How about Mayors, folks? Give me your take, Virgil. Your vote.
Yeah, but how much games did he play?
Your rating.
That's the one that get the wicket yesterday? Mm-hmm. That's the one game that he played?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, he played one.
Yeah,
that's the one.
You were in the squad, but he played one, right? He's the one that came in.
Yeah.
He's the one that came in.
And how much runs did he make?
28
in one
innings, I think.
And he
gets
5 wickets.
In one. Yeah. Yes, he's only played one test, Virgil.
He took 7 wickets. I think he took 7 wickets in the match because he got two in the first inning.
Let me tell you something. Because this guy gets so much wicket, and this is not fluke wicket, and this is ball was moving, I'll give him 9 3/4 because he really performed it. He was moving ball, and that is what I want to see. He was really moving ball, and that's what I want to see.
Okay, how about you, Audley?
Mayors. Yeah, boy, he was such a hero. Only one match. I think I'll give him a 9. Give him a 9.
He really
performed right here. You know, yeah, and
Dennis,
he bamboozled the Englishman.
We brought him in for just one test, and he's certainly shown that he has a lot to give to the West Indies team. And 7 wickets in the in this first test and 28 runs when we needed it, I would definitely go along with Audley and score him a 9.
You know,
how come I rate higher than you guys?
Yeah, well,
because he's a bowler, Virgil, the man is a bowler, that's why.
Yeah, and you have
and
to know
your prejudice when it comes to the bowlers.
You have to give the extra for the swinging ball. It's an extra for the swinging ball. This is not ordinary ball.
Virgil, I'm going to give him a 10. You know why I'm going to give him a 10? Because you guys say he got 9 wickets, right?
Seven.
7 wickets.
Seven.
I thought he got 8 wickets. I feel that the runout that he got was a crucial runout. You remember the runout?
Extra points,
runout.
Yes.
Okay.
Extra points.
Yeah.
I'm
going to
give him a
10.
I'm going to give him a 10.
All right.
I'm going to give him a 10 for that match.
For that, he deserve it, as you said, because if he run out somebody, that extra quarter inch that you go over me really deserve it.
It's about time that credit fielders who take wickets. Anyway, older folks, we talked about him already, but Virgil, why don't you tell us how much you'll give Virgil? Older.
No, not a little bit more than 4.
Maybe more than 4 is 4 or 5?
No, more than 4. 4.
Okay. Godly?
I'll give him a 5.
5. Mm-hmm. And then Dennis, your take on Holder.
Holder definitely deserve a little bit more than a 5. More so because of his experience and his strong stability out there on the pitch. I would definitely rate him at least. Yeah, I would rate him 8.
8?
Yep.
I'm going to give Holder 6. I'm going to give Holder 6. You know, he was performing below his ability, and there must be some mitigating circumstances. I'm going to give him a 6.
Yeah, Leon.
How about this?
Leon, think about those catches he's made. That turns
the
course of the game.
That's why I give him 6. If he didn't touch his catches, I would give him 4.
Huh? Very hard, Professor.
Leon, as I said before, my pencil has a rubber. Can I erase it and give him a 6?
Yeah, you. No. You can't change it now.
After being reminded about the catches in the slip and those,
yes, okay.
You know, catches win matches,
right.
Drop catches win,
yes.
Lose matches,
right.
And stuff. Mm. So after being reminded, you know, I decided to tick it up a little.
Within the rules for you, Holden. Silver, that's silver. The silver, folks.
All right.
Virgil, remember this guy's a wicketkeeper now. He scores centuries.
He's always in the game.
And he's always in the game. And what happened? Tell us. Give us your ranking of him, your rating of him in the test match.
I don't know if he made a half century in one of the games, but... For a newcomer and the way I see it, mm-hmm. I see him back and he can speed up when he wants to. So, you know, something for that improvement of what he did there in a century, I'll give him a 6 for that. He's improving.
6.
And that is something that you really, really want from somebody to can change the game at certain time and change the speed at certain time. So he's going up.
Audley, how about you, sir?
I'm going to give him an 8.
And Dennis, your take on Mr.
Definitely a 10, Leon. And that's because he has worked tirelessly behind that stump, and he's taken a lot of dismissals back there. And when we need him, he's come out and he's produced runs. He's a stability factor, and without a doubt, we, just like the Holder situation, without his wicket-keep skills back there, we could have been in a lot of trouble. Think of all those catches he took in the, I think it was the second test where he took a lot of catches back there on the sump. No, he's definitely deserving of a 10. He's a great player and a great asset to this team.
So he's
and
performing behind
10.
And in front of the wicket.
I'm going to give him a 10 too. And in addition to all what you guys say, this guy had an injury to his hand. And he went in and come back out. Most players would have stayed out. That guy came back out, man. Came back out just to spur up the West Indies. And I, on that basis, I give him a 10. Phil.
You know that a piece of Virgil rubbed off on me a while ago, you know?
How about you, Virgil? We want to finish this exercise. We have one question more to ask.
See, I'm going with a 4 too. I need a lot more out of them. 4.
The guy's only 20 years old, you know. I'm playing his.
Well, yeah, but I can't give him nothing high until when he starts to do something good. So he's good At least he start there. All, right, okay. All he can do go up. Mm.
How about you, Dennis? Not Dennis, Audley.
I'm gonna give him a 6, or I'll give him a 7, because at the crucial time when we De Silva needed somebody else. I know Alzar Joseph did his part, and Roach, they stayed really, you know, at the time. But when Thiel came in, when he went in, it could have been just, okay, go out there and flash the bat. But he did not. He stayed there with De Silva to make sure that he complete that century. And for that, I really, really commend him. Yeah.
Yes, okay. And how much you say, give him an 8?
Give him an 8. Give him an 8.
Yeah, did you say 8 too? Yeah. And I concur with that. I think he deserves the 8. And Roach, folks, how much would you
no,
give?
No. Wait a moment. For me, Seals have been a real find. He had 4 wickets in the first test match. He came back with 3 for 40 in the third, plus his 2 for 34 in the second. And he has the knack of getting that breakthrough when we least expect it, and getting the breakthrough of really recognized batters, not just the tail enders. He is definitely growing and showing his experience and his fact that he's going to be a real asset for the West Indies. Without a doubt, I'm inclined to give him a 9 because of his
9,
contribution,
okay.
Not just in the ball, but with the bat as well.
And I say an 8. I appreciate his, as a young man, I give him an 8. Finally, no, we have 2 more. Roach. Let's go to Roach. And Virgil, another fast bowler. Roach, what do you give Roach?
4.
I need Audley, more. Your take. All right.
I'm giving Roach 8 as well, because 8. Roach is a guy who has consistently helped West Indies out down the bottom of the innings there. When we need something to happen, even if he's not scoring half centuries and stuff like that, but he valued his wickets. And whenever he's there, he's not giving it away. So and he has this knack to get the breakthrough whenever he opens the attack too. So I'm gonna give him an 8. Very consistent with the bat as well.
And I concur with that. Go ahead.
In my case, I see Roach almost like Seals. Roach had 2 wickets in the first test, first innings of England. He had 2 in the second innings of England in the first test. He had 2 in the first innings of the second test. He also had 1 in the England second innings, and he comes back in the third test where he has 2. And as far as I can tell, he's also contributed with the bat. He's good at making those breakthroughs when we need them. Without a doubt, Roach is deserving of a 9 in my book. He is a really valuable player with bat and ball.
I'm going with 8 for Mr. C. Joseph, Alzari Joseph, folks. Virgil.
Maybe I'll give him a 3, man. Maybe I'll give him a 3. I need him to bend it back more, man. I need performance.
Okay. Did you realize he batted well too? He did not.
Yeah. Because they said stay with him
also.
He's
gotten. Audley, your take on Joseph.
I'm going to give him a 6.
6. And Dennis, finally, what are you saying about Joseph?
Again, Joseph has done well for us, Billy, because, he picked up 2 wickets in the first innings of the first test. He picked up 3 wickets in the second innings of England in this first test, come back into the second test, and he is still performing. He picked up 1 wicket in England second innings. But in addition to that, two wickets in the final test here recently, the first innings, one in the second. He's also contributed. I don't know how we can give him anything other than an 8 or a 9 because he shows himself to be really, really valuable. Back to you,
Is it 8 or is it 9? Can be halfway between.
Okay. I'll make it a 9.
Okay, good. And I'm going to make it an 8 for Larry Joseph. And it's not because of his not performing, but because they failed to give him the new cherry.
The new ball.
He always has been asked to bowl the used ball.
The 14th.
The used ball. Let's put it like used ball. You know, like when you take out a new used ball from out of the mm-hmm. when a ball is in. That's what they always give him to bowl, and he still get results. Come sometime, change up your tack, change up the delivery, change up the personnel. Don't let them they come to know what you're gonna do quick rapid. Give this guy a new ball sometimes. Give him a 4 rows, and see. Even if you don't give him two overs, if he gets if they start to deal with him heavily, you know, then you can bring in Roach too. Not too much. He's lost, but his pace is the fastest.
Can I say something? Can I say something? The rating that you give this guy don't have to do nothing much to get 10 because you can't go higher than 10, right? And if this guy was going out there and playing some innings that you know that win game, even though they don't get much wicket and you see what they do, how the bowling performance, the no run score off of them, and the performance that we get to win game, I could understand that number that you guys give them that is close to 10. Remember now, you can't go no higher than 10. So if one of them that you give 9 that get 2 more wickets, you can say he's in 10. What good do you do to us? Nothing. They did not give us no kind of performance.
But it's just
I'm just saying it only take about 2 more wickets from one person, or maybe make another 20 runs, and then they'll get a 10. So if somebody, one of the guys get 10 wickets, 8 wickets in an innings, and then get 100 runs, where would you put them? Over 15?
Don't forget, Virgil, it's your opinion. You know, so you mark them how you want to mark it.
Yes,
and
no,
somebody
else
marked
them
how you want. And you're marking and saying that the guys, they may stay there, but we don't win match. We won this one, I understand that. But the previous two matches, you have to remember, it's not everything is valuable just when we win. Sometimes by staying there, they prevent us from losing, right? Because it could be different when it comes to the third test. Had those guys not occupy the wicket, because you keep on saying that they're not scoring the runs and they're slow and whatever. When the game calls for that, you have to do that, because at times it reaches a place where the runs are not important again, because when they give you certain runs to chase and to win, you know you're not going to make it. So all you need to do is occupy the crease and play out the time. And that's what they're doing. That's what it's called for. But you're too hard on the guys to say they are there and they are scoring on slow. Sometimes that's exactly what it's after.
No. Here it is. None of the game that I watched for this year or last year, you see, it's the same identical way we play.
No. We're just analyzing the players on that last match we played.
No. I know. I understand that, but you're saying it's like they play that for that particular game because, they want to draw the game. That's why they play and not getting ready. But the ball, but I'm saying for the last couple of years, it is the same identical way that we've still playing.
We have been playing the ball like we're still playing T20 cricket, and they bowl us out under 60 overs and all them stuff. The guys have changed the way they are doing it, and that is why we are able to be batting in 2 days and stuff like that. They have changed their approach.
I'm talking about away from the field.
Let me finish, then. Go ahead, Virgil, you finish?
No, I was just saying
okay, but,
hitting the ball away from the fielder and take a single here and there. Most of it, 75% of the time, this ball is going straight to a fielder. And when the other team go into bat, you see something else different. You're wondering sometimes if you're playing for a different pitch.
Man, right. it's not everybody's Brian Lara, you know. Brian Lara has that ability. Some people are born with the right word would be aptitude. Aptitude. The natural ability to do things, you know. Not everybody was born with that. Some people have to work hard on the craft to be able to do what they do. It's easy for some people and it's not easy for others. Yeah, you can.
Do you want to hit the ball to the fielder? Because why are our guys hitting the ball to the fielder?
You didn't hear what I don't think you heard what I said. I said some people were born with the ability to naturally do things. The word aptitude. I said some people are born with it, some are not. Some have to work hard on the craft. And working on it, they'll get better at doing it. So it's not everybody's gonna be able to just play. Some cricketers will go on the pitch and they start, but they start to look at. I think one famous cricketer, forget his name, who did say that when he look around, you see him looking around. He say, "I'm not looking for where the fielders are. I'm looking for the space where the space are." Right.
Yes.
So it could be a big difference there. It could be a big difference there, all in the head. But it's not everybody's going to do things the same way. Yes, that's what we want. That's what we want. And sometimes
Leon,
you have to know not to put enough pace on the ball that you can run slowly and get a run.
Okay.
At the end of the day, Leon, what we need to get through to Virgil is that we're not looking at a enormous contribution in one match. We are looking overall as to what difference these players make in the game they're playing. And in the case of Joseph, he had 2 wickets in the first inning in the first test, and then he had 3 in the second inning of the first test. And those wickets tend to come at a time when the English batters had looked set. And we needed that breakthrough. And we have to analyze the game in that type of set. The only thing I disagree with Leon with is that a bowler has to develop the ability to bowl with what he has. We cannot have a new ball bowler just because. We cannot have a spin bowler just because. We have to have a bowler who has the ability to take the ball and make something happen. And so I want Joseph to be able to do this, not just with the new ball. But having said that,
you have the fastest bowler on the team. When that ball is new and fresh, you get more out of the ball. So I would say, if not all the time, try him and see. Because I remember his bowling in Antigua when his mother died. He got that new ball and he had a Root and all them guys running. They say running, literally running. So give him the new ball and see what he does with it.
I agree with Leon because he's always coming in like the 14. But definitely not take the ball from Roach. Definitely not take the ball from Roach to open. Joseph along with Roach and then somebody's come at time.
Yeah.
But definitely, yes, I want Roach with my newborn.
Okay. I have one question, just one comment, because something happened in that match when the silver he was given out, right? He was given out and at on 100. You guys recall that? And everybody left the field?
I didn't see that. Maybe I was at work then.
They left the field of play, and the umpire had to call them back. I thought when once they leave the field, that's it. You know, you can, but then they do a review and saw that the ball did not touch the bat. And he was able to continue in it. But
I was not aware of that.
No, because if you do a review, if the umpire give you out, and you do a review.
You should have told everybody wait. Oh. You should have told them.
No, no. Once you do a review, you can't walk off the field if you do a review because they're doing a review. Can you wait for that? Mm-hmm. Unless what you want to tell me, the umpire give him out and he didn't do a review and he walked right off the field? Or he did
the
a review?
The entire field, the entire team. Because
yeah,
I didn't watch it. I'm just learning of this one. I'm just learning about it.
You know, I was listening, and that's what the commentator said. I was listening to the match. I didn't see it, but I heard that's what happened. And the commentators were English commentators, and they were saying, oh, that was not fair. That was not fair. That's something, you know, saying words they said. But nevertheless, we completed our survey, and it tells the listeners how we think, and everybody has their opinion. And one good thing, I didn't think anybody say, okay, one person says Simmons should go. Or did you say Simmons should go?
I said it doesn't matter here or there to me.
But
I said he should go.
Then he said so. I thought they're going to retain him. Let's welcome Simon. Simon, come on in, sir.
And a very good evening to you, Mr. President. And I also say hello to Dennis, Cardinal, if he's with us. Audley, good evening to you. Virgil, good evening to you. Mr. Patel, good evening to you. Jetner, good evening to you. Ivor Henry, good evening also to you. And I say Virgil
Mercury.
Twice, because I wouldn't get any mangoes.
That is
very
Mercury.
Happy to be on the
Mercury
show once more
listening
with you.
Mercury.
Talented men and ladies who know the game so well. And I must say what a pleasure it is to have something positive to talk about tonight. West Indies winning the third test in Grenada, beautiful island of Grenada, and my wife's beautiful home. So I know I'm happy two times, twice happy. Irma's home.
From your brother-in-law?
Yes, and the one in Irma's island. So Irma said she's going down to congratulate them.
Man, they have fun in Grenada, man. Even the Prime Minister, I understand the Prime Minister's mother, and she's about 100 years old. She watched the game. And she got her first class seat.
Yes.
I thought I heard that.
Of course.
That's right.
Yeah. I thought I heard that.
Yes. Simon, so I just want to congratulate the West Indians. At least we have something to shout about. We've been so long without any victory, so at least now we have something that we can all shout about. And I think hoping now, we have a saying in England that one swallow doesn't make a summer. I hope this is not just one swallow now. I hope it's going to continue like this in a winning streak like we had back in the 60s and 70s and 80s. Are you with me, Dennis?
Yes, I'm with you.
Simon, your question. And Dennis,
okay, you ready? I thought you want to talk a little about it.
No, we are ready for you because Dennis is going to... Dennis has one waiting for you, too.
Yeah, I thought you want to talk a little about the win.
Shoot to the question.
No. We have been talking about that. You came in late. We're going to summarize that at the end. Go right ahead with your question.
Yeah. Okay. Question for tonight, 27th of March. And we are talking about a player. His name was Inzumam Ul Haq. That's his name. I have two parts of the question. What country did he play for? And give me his highest totals for Test cricket, highest totals in Test cricket that he played in his whole career. I'm going to repeat
Pakistan
it.
Pakistan 320.
Yeah.
Pakistan 320.
Okay, Inzumam Ul Haq. Which country did he play for?
Pakistan.
And give me his total scores in his Test career.
Total score in his career.
Yes.
That's it. Okay.
Everybody knows from Pakistan. I'm gonna say about 7,095 runs.
Okay.
Big
thank you so much. Thank you so
big
much, Mr. Audley. Thank
Pakistan,
you, Audley.
7,554.
Thank you so much. Okay. Thank you. Is Mr. McKenzie with us?
Mr. McKenzie has been out of the hospital. He came.
Yes, you called me and told me that he was doing much better.
Yeah.
I hope he's listening to us.
Go ahead. Who is next? The Virgil, your take.
It doesn't change.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Virgil. Thank you.
What it change is Aura.
And what about Ivor? Ivor with us?
No.
Okay. And what about Mr. Patel?
He's
always...
not audible.
No, he's not with us.
He always gets them right. So that's the whole panel we've been through then, right?
Yeah,
okay, should I reveal my answer, Mr. Patel?
No, Dennis has to go. Dennis.
Oh, I thought Dennis gave me... Okay. Dennis, let's hear you.
He's from Pakistan, and I think I'll go along with Virgil, 8,000 plus runs.
Okay, thank you so
what
much.
What a plus is. Just get the number.
8,200 then.
Okay, thank you. Okay, should I reveal the answer, Mr. President?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Inzamam Ul Haq, as you all said, he played for Pakistan. And his total test career, he scored 8,830 runs. I'm going to repeat
8,830
runs.
Do we have the fact checkers, Mr. Simon?
He's not still playing. He's not still playing.
So because sometimes you have an older book.
He's retired. If the player was still playing, fast check.
Okay.
You know, Inzamam is one of those underrated players, man. And this guy performed out of this world, man. And you never really hear people rate him, but believe you, when he goes out there, he really scores sometimes real fast. But he's one of the underrated test player.
One of the chubby guys, too.
Indeed. Dennis, you have a question for Simon. You had it since last week, but you didn't get a chance. How about you asking him
now? So I know he's going to give me two this week.
Well, I will ask that Australia just completed a series in Pakistan, test series in Pakistan. Who won the series and what was the score?
Well, I'll say...
The score of what?
The series score.
Okay,
good.
What was that?
Okay, off my head now, I haven't read it or heard it, but off my head, I'll say Australia and India. I'll say Australia won.
Australia and Pakistan.
Australia and Pakistan. I'll say Australia won. Mm-hmm. And say 2-1. Australia 2 and Pakistan 1.
One correct.
No.
Let's go. One more chance. You have to give me three chances. I'll say that Australia won 3 matches and Pakistan won 1 match.
No.
You're embarrassing my team.
No.
You're embarrassing my team.
Okay.
Right, 3-3.
Okay. I'll have to reverse it now then. I'd have to say Pakistan 1-2, Australia 1-1.
No.
Okay. Now, shall I give you
three answers.
No, let me give you the answer.
Okay.
Well, 3 test match. And for me, Pakistan win the series, but it did not go that way. It was a 1-0 series. But the 2 matches that Pakistan draw, it was one of the best draw tests I see for a very, very long time. So still, I would give Pakistan a tie. Honest and telling you. But actually,
yeah, but
they win the series, really.
What was the real tour?
It was 1-0. 1-0.
In favor of Australia.
I would give them a draw because Pakistan really performed in that game, man. More than what people expected, and it was really a good game.
Okay.
Yeah, so that is your fantasy football, fantasy cricket.
Okay, so yeah. I'm in sympathy with Virgil. I'm in sympathy with Virgil. If they played so well, Pakistan played so well.
They really played well.
Put it this way, Australia had a chance to win the second match. Australia declared late. And I sorry that Pakistan, they give Pakistan, 400, almost 500 runs to win 400 and something. And Pakistan really very close. extra runs before the day was out, and
away?
I'm sorry Pakistan didn't win that game, because that would have been like a champion. That would have been, you know, hear about that for the rest of your life. But it ended up in a draw, and it was a very, very, very good
match.
Yeah,
I get you.
And that leads me to something else because I spoke to Leon in the week, and when Cummins declared the innings closed and gave Pakistan 350 something to make and having like almost four sessions to do it, I was afraid, you know, based on the way the Pakistan is batted, to save the second test, and even in the first test, the way they batted as well in the last inning, that Pakistan would have won. And I'm saying, I don't know how Cummins is going to go home to Australia. But Leon told me that the projection was like they're going to be like making like 230 something. That's exactly what took place. I mean, the way the guys started overnight, they were like 70 yards without loss. And it was a full three sessions.
70, yeah.
To make 200 and something. And they just succumbed to the Aussies. I was surprised because I was banking on Pakistan winning that one and, you know, giving Cummins something to think about whenever, you know, he reached home. But Australia prevails.
Just before we move on, guys, we have to cover the West Indies and the Women's World Cup. So can I just give some scores? Because Birdie will love this, because in the Antigua and Barbuda Cricket Association Super 40, Hicks, Liberta Blackhawk versus Tiggers in the finals. Who won? Hicks, Liberta Blackhawks, won by 83 runs. The scores, Hicks, Liberta Blackhawks, 233 for 9, and Tiggers Crushers, 150 all out. So congratulations to the Hicks, Liberta Blackhawks, and you know that's the team that Rakim Coleman plays for, and also Karima Gore plays for that team as well. And most of all, I was born in Liberta, so yesterday I picked Liberta.
All right, big up.
I picked Liberta and Tiggers to be in the finals, and that's what happened. I lived near Tiggers. I lived in Carlisle, just a stone throw from Tiggers, so I picked those two teams, and they indeed came to the finals. Congratulations to the Liberta Blackhawks. They have won so many titles that English Sabre has never seen been even close.
Okay.
Can I get five seconds to remind you? Just five seconds to remind us that we are in the Lawrence Yagaro Hour. It's the 8 o'clock hour. From 8 to 9, it's the Lawrence Yagaro Hour. And just to deviate a little from cricket, the United States trying to qualify for the World Cup, they are leading Panama 4-0 at halftime. 4-0 at halftime. The UN's men's team. All right, back to you.
As we enter the Women's World Cup, let's say hello to Jasna. Good evening to you, Jasna.
Hello, good evening, everybody.
We commiserate with you and your team losing, but, you know, life is like that.
I know. Sorry to hear that, but West Indies is getting there. So I'm on the both sides, right? West Indies and India. Whoever is winning, I'm on that side. it's a little sad situation because of rain and all that happened, but that's okay. It's all in the game, right? But I'm happy for West Indies and they qualify for semifinals. Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Did anybody watch the match last night?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, Dennis was telling me about it.
I did just for the batting part, not the other half, because it was too late.
Tell us about the last ball. Can somebody tell us about the last ball? I didn't see. I heard it was a no ball.
What about the penultimate ball?
The one before
it was with two to go, and a cat was taken. And then when they checked the bowlers, it there was nothing behind, and her feet were still in the air, nothing behind the crease, and it was declared a free hit. Mm-hmm. I mean, at that time, because you're saying, wow, with one ball to go, and I think that they would need about three runs. And what happened is that free hit produces, I think, two. So it was, the score was level.
No, correction.
Give us.
It scored, they needed three off two balls. Mm-hmm. And Dupreez was caught at long offs. Then they mm-hmm. discovered that it was a no ball. The no ball penalty was one run.
Yes.
So that brought the score that they needed two runs to win off two balls because she had to bowl the new ball over.
Yes, you're right.
In the free hit, which was that penultimate ball now, the free hit, they got one single to tie the score. Mm-hmm. And then on the very last ball of the match, they got a single, South Africa got a single off that last ball to win the match. But, you know, the interesting thing that I found, and I'm still not able to understand this, South Africa had qualified anyway for the semifinal because of the number of points they had.
Yes.
But
I'm watching the replay right now. Go ahead.
They went out there, and they had three runouts in the match chasing runs. They played mm-hmm. like a team that was fighting for the championship.
Trying to qualify. Yes.
Trying to qualify, yeah. They really played. They threw everything in there, whereas I would have thought that they would have rested their players and give India the advantage to qualify. But no, they did not let up. They threw everything at India that they could find, and in the long run, they did come through with a victory. And I take my hat off. And my final thought on this was that when we discussed this T20, this World Cup about 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago, South Africa was one team that I had said I thought would do very well, and they have not let me down in that regard. So it'd be interesting to see what happens when they meet, because I think South Africa will meet Australia in the final. But that's not to say England doesn't have much of a chance, because they've come back from what was a really, really bad position to reach the semifinal. So it's going to be interesting,
yes,
gentlemen and ladies. That's it.
Hold one moment, because we have Jatin in, and he's in for a little while. So Jatin, why don't you come on in? Commiseration on your India being knocked out. What say you? Why did they get knocked out?
Not much. India had a poor run anyway, because a couple of games hurt them badly, especially against New Zealand when they collapsed at the lowest mm-hmm. total in the tournament. That was the downfall. They did not do well either against England, so there was another setback. And then this particular game was, looked to me, they went on with the overconfidence with 275 on the board. And at the same time, they don't have the most senior bowler, which is heavily reliable for last six World Cup, I would say. Yep. Mm-hmm. And he was rested because of the side strain. And that is brings these inexperienced medium pace bowlers, three of those, who are playing their first World Cup. And they could have done it, but it's unfortunate. The missing part was the experience between the two sides. For example, India started well in opening. They were like almost 91 for no loss in a matter of 15 overs. And mm-hmm. including the South Africa's main bowler was at the laundry, I will say, 3 overs, 32 runs. Then there's a sub named Ismail came back. If you look at her analysis, the remaining 7 overs, she bowled. She barely gave under 10 runs. and give enough headache to all batsmen in middle order to slow down the run rate. And in last overs, he bring a couple of wickets. So if you look at overall, India has to blame on their own. But the biggest thing is the inexperience did cause the bigger effect. South African players used their expertise and experience to overcome under the pressure situation. That was the biggest thing I will say matter in this one. Number two, when you lose such a game on a last ball with just one run required, it means a lot. The reason, the importance of the run is right here. One run. And then you can make up a story. In this particular game, they had a total 600 deliveries altogether. And not only that, they had almost five extra overs from both sides, if you look at it. So that's a 630 deliveries. These both teams had an opportunity to take care of the business. Either India could have saved one extra run by stopping and fielding, or they could have scored one extra run during that inning. But when you come to this one-run situation, you have to understand when you lose, we lost it because we did not overcome with a single mistake. You might have made 50 of those. It's okay. But can you limit those mistakes and win this game? And that is a sad thing. But unfortunately, India is out. And I will say whoever is going at number four, now I think it's the West Indies, there is nothing much you can do against Australia because Australia is a too strong side tournament. They are unbeaten. And they have taken care of almost every team at different ground, different day, different situation, different bowler, you name it. But Australia is a looks like all-round team. Physical fitness-wise, they are the fittest team in this tournament compared to any other team. I will say something where fan may disappoint. But in my opinion, at the moment, if I have to rank the teams at this tournament, they are right in that order. Australia is the fittest and best out there. Number two is definitely South Africa because of their bowling strength and batting strength, both. Then you took the England. Yes, they have a little bit up and down, and that is the reason they bounced back and came back with it. But West Indies has to just feel lucky. They are not in a fitness mode. They are like, besides two or three players, it looks like average team, but they're lucky enough to get in. And let's hope, I will say, if all can come out and put their best and make upset here. There's two games to go, and they are potential to win it. I will not scratch it off. But the situation will be on the field is how they come and fight against this tough team. That's a number one. And number two, if they keep fitness, because if you look at it, it is a tournament, especially for West Indies, when they were chasing, you can see their fitness is coming the issue because they already filled 50 overs before coming to the batting, and they did slow down. There's a couple of, I will say, cramps, hamstrings, that kind of injuries, and we see that downfall, and they're not able to take quick singles. That's another drawback. No doubt there's a couple of batsmen who can hit big, but that's not good enough when you're facing the toughest team like Australia. So it will be very exciting, but at the moment I'm up for Australia going all the way. South Africa might be turned into as a runner-up.
When we made our prediction here some weeks ago, I don't think anybody on the team, except one person who said West Indies will go through. I think it were you, Simon.
Simon.
You said West Indies.
Simon.
Simon, the only one who said that, yes. Yeah. Simon, the only one who said that. And, you know, but I'm saying this, you know.
It happened, but if you look at, Leon, if you look at this entire tournament, if you look at the entire tournament, I will still say that New Zealand is a good team, but did not make it because they lost a couple of games, especially West Indies did do that, we call it the shocking decisions, couple of those initially when they started, and that is the advantage. And if you look at the other way, West Indies are in the playoff for a reason, because this India and New Zealand, who just missed out by 1 point, did not do well. That is the reason they are there. But as the prediction started, I don't think anybody has put the West Indies. And it's absolutely, love the, what the Simon statement is on West Indies, I remember. Yes, they are capable. They've been world champion. It's not something they cannot do it. They have enough ingredient, means the talent out there, the potential, who can compete. And that is what we have to see. I will say, I will be excited if the West Indies can turn on their A game and compete in a semifinal.
I'm going to make that same point, because we didn't expect them to be there. And I know Australia is due an off day. We are hoping that that happens in the semifinal on Tuesday. It's West Indies. You know, hey, it's not impossible, but, you know, realistically, I don't think...
There is a plus. There is a plus for the semi-final. The West Indies has a plus for semi-final. Their
main superstar
is a little bit injured, and he took the rest in the last game.
Yeah. Question to you. In terms of money, the semi-finalist gets a different percentage of the pool, isn't it?
Yes. The semi-final losers will have the third-year money, actually. If you look at the breakdown, the highest money goes to the champion, then little less to, I think, runners-up, then about half to the semifinalist, and rest of them have some minimum. So it's definitely whoever wins the semifinal, at least they are getting much more than the four teams who went out. How about that?
Yes.
I have the numbers, Leon.
That's a plus.
Leon, I have the numbers. The winners will take home $1.32 million. The runner-up will take home, $600,000, and the losing semifinalists will take home $300,000. Whereas those teams, those four teams that did not qualify for the final, they will get only $70,000 each. And of course, the group win, every win in the group stage will give you a bonus of $25,000. So, the West Indies must be feeling very pleased with themselves. Looking at that pot, the chances are they have something to really aim for, even if they get up to the runner-up stage.
Is there anything there for the drawn match that they share? You know, what, any money for the drawn match?
It does
get the one that was rained out. The one that was rained out, rather.
They probably split the 25,000 for the
year.
Of course. That is the only reasonable to do that. Any other point that anyone wants to raise on that World Cup? Was it exciting?
Someone was saying to me that
one of the most exciting World Cups that we ever had. They've seen some extraordinary catches, some good batting, and some good bowling. And of course, you see the Afghanistan doing reasonably well, and Bangladesh coming back. So,
Afghanistan? Pakistan or Bangladesh?
Bangladesh, not Afghanistan, Leon.
Bangladesh. I just want to reiterate what Dennis was saying, because I was going to make the point, but it seemed he was looking at my script. about the way South Africa played the cricket. Because I'm saying, no, this team has already qualified, right? They are already in the final four. And I say, I have to give them all prompts. They did not play as if they had qualified already. They play as if every ball, you know, meaning that we have to qualify. We are trying to reach the qualification. No holdback, no holdback. Believe me, man.
They're playing for the money too hardly.
25,000. I'm saying, man, they were like, you know, and when I slept, I watched when the first team batted, and then I fell asleep, and I woke up. When I woke up, it was like after 3 o'clock, and I saw the match going on. I say yes. So I start watching. I couldn't go back to sleep. And when I even send out that thing to say, hey, how you watching us, you know, and I'm saying, it was such a drama right down to the final ball, because when it seemed as if it was now India that was gonna go through, after then the no ball was called and the script was changed again. I mean, you couldn't choreograph that if you try. I mean, it was exciting. Yeah.
Hollywood finish.
Yeah.
Hollywood
finish. At this
Hollywood
point, who do you think would be the player of the tournament? Anybody has any standout?
Off the tournament or off that match?
No,
it's hard right now
so
to say. It's hard to say, Leon, because
there's still four matches to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's why so far, we can say who are the front runners then? Let's put it this way. Who are the front runners for the number one player of the tournament? Anybody has that in mind or they didn't go as far?
You got Australia, Benson, Leg Manning, then you got South Africa's opening batsman, the young one at the Tau. That's he is also highest scorer, front runner, right? Yeah. So that's
and
the two. But again,
it's a fast bowler. The Australian fast bowler too. Not the Australian, South African. Ismail.
So basically, it depends who wins the final, because we have to see who performs well in remaining last two games for any team to become a champion, and those two games will decide as MVP, I will say, because whatever you do in a regular round may not be that much important besides you come to the playoff. But now it's the time, the real time, are you able to perform at the time when the team needs you to become the champion?
I think they should have a category like catch of the series, catch of the tournament, maybe top five catches of the tournament. Man, I'm telling you, the men has nothing over these ladies. Some flying catch, absolutely nothing over this. Oh, man. Yep.
For those of you who don't know, Australia play West Indies on Tuesday, and then England going to play who? England will play
South Africa on Wednesday. Yeah,
following Wednesday. And when would be the final?
The second of April.
Which will be Saturday.
And
the good thing about it, I think I've watched the most World Cup cricket with the ladies, and the fact that it was playing in
New Zealand
help a lot, because when I get home in the evening, you know, I could get to watch a lot of it. I'm really loving it.
Yes. Gentlemen, ladies.
Can we switch a little? No, time is running out on us. Premier League, India Premier League started this week.
IPL
on Saturday. And we are watching to see how many of our players from the Caribbean, and of course, Katie will be watching how many players from India making it at the top. But I'm happy to report that Odell Smith, he was named man of the match in his team today. And what did he do to earn that?
He made 25 in 8 balls.
He made 25 in 8 balls. That's correct. Because he got none for 50-something.
None for 52 in his four.
In 4 overs. Yes. But he still, that 25 he made was so crucial that the judges saw it fit.
Three sixes and a four.
Right? And Rahman Powell, he failed to score. Pollard made Russell bat it. And that guy played today as well. Sir Frank Rutherford played. And we're looking forward to see if these guys can make good use of the opportunity that they have been afforded. Anybody take, or you want to give us your take, Jatin, or anyone else on the India Premier League? Any setbacks, any normal, any problems that you think might hamper this tournament?
Probably not, because they're at full swing, and they got the two extra teams, but they did manage their schedule and number of games each team play. Initially, I was in impression that every team you add, you're going to have two more extra games, one home and away. So when you add two, I thought they might add four more extra games, but they did not. They came out with a different formula, and the IPL stands the same number of games like last year. We still have to go for 14 games in the regular season, and then it will be the four-team playoff with two chances for the top two teams to qualify for the final. So it's should be exciting, and looks like it's very promising because of this corona and other situation. They are trying to keep these teams very close to each other. I will say if they have to fly out, it's less than half-hour flight. That sort of schedule they have. So it's they are trying best to make sure that this action goes well for the schedule for next 2 months. And it should be exciting because these are the big grounds they are using. They have the like four or five pitches in the middle. That means you can use the pitch A for a couple of games, pitch B for a couple of games, and they can manage the workload for those groundsmen to make sure that they have the good pitches ready to go. But one thing will be concerned here in this area is anything happens in Mumbai, I will say a lot of games may face uncertainty, I call it. It's hard to believe what the pitch going to react like that. So you can have the surprise low-scoring games there. And at the same time, the other two grounds are heavy, like a flat pitch, full of runs. You can expect 200 for every game they play. Mm-hmm. So it's overall, it should be the good fun for the fans, I will say, because when you have the heavy scoring going on, it can be tested how much good baller you have or how good you are in a fielding. That should be the key to win this game. So it's a team-wise, I will say this year it's absolutely balanced team. In fact, it's not anymore about Mumbai Indians and Chennai Super Kings. There's a lot of other teams has a good potential to go and take the top rank. But it's very early to say where we are heading because the only issue I see in this particular IPL is number of players going in and out because of their international commitments and other commitments. Mm-hmm. And that is the reason. If you look at the list of players who did not make it, a lot of big names did not make it. It's not because they are not good at it, but their contract condition could have been tricky. That is the reason this franchise did not took these players. Some of the big names say, let's say I can come out and play just 1 month, give me this money. And what the franchise is going to do in the second half, let's say you're playing 1 month, then who's going to fill in your shoes for another half for 1 month? So because of those situations, looks like most of the franchise did not go with those big names and say, you know what, let's pick up somebody else who is committed to play for the whole season rather than we make all these adjustments middle of the tournament. So that is a in and out flow going to continue for a couple of reasons. One is their availability and the schedule commitment. Number two, this will be the wrong and really competitive cricket means you are expecting more people to injure compared to any previous IPL. Believe it or not, put it down, I will say. You are expecting more injuries in this IPL than ever because of the workload, because of the competition, and because everyone is trying to put 110% out there. That is what's going to happen because of this competitive cricket. And the third one is definitely...
Question. Oh, go ahead. No, I was asking a question. Is there any friction between the Deidre and Dhoni?
No. It looks like Dhoni decided to step down and let's have somebody else, because Dhoni is there for Chennai Super Kings for day one, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then he did retire test, then he did retire the ODI, then he retired in a T20. And now it's, I will say, the best thing to do is let the young one lead the team while he's still there as a keeper. And this can be the best advantage. But other than that, I have not read or heard anything about what's going on in Chennai Super King camps. But I will say Dhoni is thinking about the full retirement sometimes within one or two seasons, I will say, the most. And he's not looking at the international scene anymore. So this is the best choice to give Jadeja to take the lead. And Dhoni should be still there, but that should be the good decision, I will say, in my opinion. Because when you are on downfall, the age is catching up and ready to retire, it's better to have someone to take care of the business.
Yes. Okay, because at one time I saw the coach come out and talk to him, and Dhoni was setting the field for him at one time. So, but maybe nothing, he has given him permission to intercede on that behalf. But maybe
he will continue. Leon, if you see this Chennai Super King games, even Rajendra Jadeja is a captain. Believe it or not, most of the fielding arrangement will be adjusted by the Dhoni as a keeper. That's how it's going to continue.
Sure.
And that
all
is
right.
What
okay.
We have seen in the past when the Rohit Sharma become captain or Virat Kohli become captain. I mean, we have seen it a lot of time. Kohli is fielding in way deep at long on or long off. And the keeper is the only one managing inside the 30 yards. You know, so it's good to have the senior who has enough experience, and he's a champion. It's a true champion. I don't think any captain mind if he's taking care of business on the field. It's a beauty to have the support like that for any captain, I will say.
All right. And now we're going to touch the Pakistan, Australia.
Virgil got dropped.
Okay, go ahead, Audley. Let me go ahead. We're going to check the Pakistan match against
Australia.
Can we continue? And then I'll get Virgil back. Australia. I'll bring back Virgil.
Dennis.
Go ahead. We can go ahead and talk. All right, Dennis,
okay.
Do you want to give us... Well, I bring in Virgil.
Dennis, are you here?
Dennis gets up too?
Sorry, yes, my apologies. The most striking thing about the Australia-Pakistan series is the performance of Usman Khawaja. This young man scored 100 in the first match. He also went on to score another 90. He had in the second match. He scored 160 in the first innings and 44 in the second, and in the third test 91 and then 104. It is beginning to look like a Joe Root kind of performance in terms of productivity, and I think he had a lot to do with the success of the Pakistan tour of the, you know, Australia's tour in the Pakistan. I'm disappointed with the ICC referees and their pronouncement regarding pitches, because I think that's taking away from the fact that you have two teams who are fighting very hard using the condition. The condition is the same for both, and we don't need to introduce artificial A, B, or C into the mix because we want to do whatever it is that the aim of that is. But definitely, it was a wonderful series, very interesting, very, of course, productive in terms of the amount of runs scored, and I certainly appreciated
this particular series, oddly. Back to you.
One of the things that stands out in the first test is when Pakistan made 476 for 4 declare, and Australia replied 459. And then in the second innings, Pakistan scored 252 without loss.
Wow.
Afiq, 136, and in Imamul Haq, 111. So, you know, it was a good series, a lot of batting, lot of patient cricketers go there and, you know, pull off the what you'd call impossible, you know, because batting on a fourth inning pitch is different from batting the first inning. And we have seen that, and you have already mentioned my boy Khawaja, man. I tell you, I can't stop talking about the way he was. You know, he reminds me of another person. Remember is that Anisha Muhammad, because about just about the time when the former captain, you know, retired, they had dropped Anisha Muhammad as well, and I don't think she did get a contract. And then she was brought back and even captained the West Indies women teams after that and became a very important part of the team. So is Khawaja. Just that after he scored a century in each innings against England, and they brought him back, then they used him as an opener, and he did not make much there. So I was wondering the wisdom of the Australians to allow him to open. But then he has proved me wrong, so wrong, because at the opening slot, each time when you look at the, you know, Australian batting and how much wickets we look, Khawaja would be still batting, you know, and he continued doing that. And he make the high 91, 97, you know, and stuff like that, 100 after 100. And I'm so happy for the guy, man. I'm so happy for him. Good series.
Well, we're going to do something this season like we did in the past 2 weeks. Dennis? Going to give a summary of what we covered here for the sake of Simon and others who join us late. Dennis, why don't you go right
ahead? Yes, thank you. Thank you, Liam. We had the reports from ICC News Roundup. ICC reported that a player from South Africa, Zubair Hamza, as charged with anti-doping rule violation. He had a prohibited substance detected in his blood in an out-of-competition testing, and the discipline is in abeyance while the ICC will make no further comment, but he has been charged with anti-doping. We also found that England opener Jason Roy was fined and suspended for 2 matches for bringing the game into disrepute. And he has acknowledged that. Roy has last played for England in the T20 series against the West Indies in January, and he averaged 40. We also heard news from the ICC that they have a program which they say cricket is good for the global community, and it's an outreach program aimed at leveraging the vast power of and the reach of cricket to transform the lives of children and family worldwide. And we looked at the various teams in the world, in the Women's IC World Tour Cup Championship, and of course we've dealt with the final positions of the semi-final teams. We looked at the current ICC rank measures for the men's test teams, which showed Australia at the top, England at number 4 slot, West Indies at number 8. We looked at the ODI rankings for the men, which again shows New Zealand at the front, South Africa at number 5, West Indies at number 9, and the United States at number 19. And then we also had a look at the T20, men's T20 ranking, courtesy of the ICC. And India is at the top,
Australia number 6, West Indies number 7, USA at 28, Bermuda at 32, and bringing up the rear was Indonesia, who is number 91 team in the World's T20 series. And, of course, we mentioned the marvelous performance of the Indian-South Africa cricket match and how exciting that was. And we recommend, we sort of give congratulations to the West Indies team, women's West Indies team, for having made that final, and the West Indies men for having won that test match. Back to you, Leon.
Yeah, well, we made a ranking. We ranked the West Indies performance player by player as well.
That's right. We did a ranking
of each player, and we took a turn in with the panelists to rank the players and the West Indies performance. And Audley, did we leave out anything that you can recall? Because Simon will pull us up with.
Well, we did not. I don't know if we actually gave details of how the West Indies won the series. He got a call from his brother-in-law. So when he came on, he was basking in the victory already. So I guess he got all the details in that.
He got all the details. He knew about it. But in a nutshell, that's what we covered, and we're going to turn our attention to Jets now. Jets, why don't you give us your final thoughts? Let me see if she's on. Yeah, no, she's not on, is she? Come on in, Jessna. Your screen is frozen. It's frozen. I don't know why.
Women's Indian cricket team. But happy for West Indians, you know, women made it to semifinals. That would be nice. And waiting to watch the game again. And congratulations to IPL. India's doing well. So far, so good. And you all have a good evening. It was a great show again. Be safe. Take care. See you. Talk to you next Sunday.
Yes, God willing. Yes, thank you so much. Your presence was appreciated. Thank you so much. Virgil, you are gone.
Thank you.
It was good to see West Indies win the series against England, and congratulations to the West Indies team. Also, congratulations to the women team to made it to the semifinal. Just hope two step away from victory, and I hope they can do it, pull it off one way or the other. At least we're in the semifinal, and we're happy for them. And for the IPL, the IPL has started. Well, today my team played Mumbai Indians, and they made a good score and they lose. And the two teams that batted first today end up and lose the game. So it was a real good game today, especially for Odin Thomas. I think he gets some licks, but at least he revised himself in the batting area, and he really performed and helped take his team to winning that game today. So I'm glad to see the start that you guys get, and forward for more with the World Cup, the IPL, and to each and every one of you, good night until we talk again next week.
Yeah, Virgil, one thing, you didn't comment about Liberta Blackhawks win.
No, what happened? Yeah, I did not hear what you said. I had walked away from the phone and was doing up something inside the house.
Yes,
the
beat up and ticket crushers. They made 233 for 9, and they bowled out Cricket Crushers for 150. Rakeem Coleman made 10, but Karima Gore was a big gun in that match. He scored well, scored 19, but at least he bowled exceedingly well. But again, Liberta Blackhawks took home another victory, another championship, and they should be proud of themselves.
Well, that's good, because I'm going to text both of them and tell them congratulations. So I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, indeed. So, okay, who's next? Is it Jatin? Come in and tell us your thoughts. Oh, Jatin left us in a hurry. Jatin, okay, Virgil, yeah, Jatin. How about you, Dennis?
Well, I will sum up my final thoughts by bringing you the thoughts and words of Michael Chambers, our local Michael Chambers, from his book, The Winning Stroke. And
right.
His word is, how can mindfulness help our cricketers? In Michael Chambers' book, The Winning Strokes, he quotes from an article written by Mike Margolis, for emotional intelligence in sports, the game within the game. The idea was promoted that athletes tend to struggle with staying in the present moment during competition. Their thoughts tend to drift to previous actions. As a result of failing to concentrate on the moment and the job at hand, they often find that their performances are negatively impacted. Therefore, athletes must therefore learn to control their minds so as to stay in the moment and focus on the task at hand. That, those are the words from Michael Chambers, The Winning Stroke. I hope we take it to heart and think about it and what it's trying to tell us. Back to you,
yes,
Leon.
Yes, well, thank you so much, Dennis, for your help with the show, in particular because a lot of work that is done behind the scene are done by Dennis. And those who don't like to hear it, I tell you, man, this guy has put in a lot of work in behind the scene. And we are grateful for his presence on the show all the time. So wonderful, wonderful performance, Dennis. We appreciate you. Simon, we are happy for you. Audley, we are delighted to have you. Virgil, it's a pleasure to bring you on. But let's hear from Mertris, because Mertris has been on with us from the onset. So why don't you give us your final thoughts, Mertris? Don't see, well, I see Ivor hand, but Ivor is on, but his hands aren't up. So I know if he's sometimes Donna uses that phone. Mertris, your final thoughts, if you're in a position to speak with us.
Okay, I'll say congratulations to the West Indies team, and may women go on to the top, finish up everything and clean house. And good night to everyone. See you next week. God's willing.
God's willing, indeed. How about you, Audley? Your final thoughts?
Okay, just before I say that, I just want to mention about the great match that was played between RCB today. And the Punjab Kings. Imagine in a match that you have played, you made 205 for 2 in 20 overs and feeling good about it. You know, I would have really feel good about making 202, and I think that would be a winning score. But then the Punjab Kings replied by scoring 208 for 5 with an over to spare. What an insult! With an over to spare. Wow, that was a great IPL match today. That was where Smith was almost also coming. That Smith came in for a lot of sticking when he was bowling, but then when he batted, he gave in return a lot of sticking, three sixes and a four in his 25 in 8 balls. All right, so this is another wonderful Sunday. I really enjoyed it, of course, and we're looking forward to doing it next week, God willing. And I just want to let you know, hi, Mr. McKenzie, keep on getting better. Ivor wasn't with us today. I think he was listening. And Donna, if you're here as well. Yeah. So go on out and have a wonderful, wonderful week. But as we go, keep it in mind that as we climb the ladder of success, check occasionally to make sure that we are leaning against the right wall, because we don't want, when we reach the top, we realize we're leaning on the wrong wall and the outer is unknown. So God bless you. Have a good week.
Yes, Simon, we almost forgot you, but come on in and give us your final day.
Yes, well, I'm here very pleased to say congratulations to West Indies team, both men and women. And next time we'll discuss this one. You think we're going to stay with this winning team, or there's a possibility of changing? But at the moment, let's just one step at a time. They won, we're going to be happy that they win. And I want everyone to have a wonderful, wonderful week this week. Everyone to be safe. And we're back here. And I want to thank Dennis and Audley keeping me abreast of what's going on in the cricket. I'm not good at the computer and all these things. And my brother-in-law called me all the way from Grenada. So happy to give me all the news. And Audley and Dennis kept me abreast of what's going on. Thank you, both of you. And you have a wonderful week, everyone. And we'll be back here next week, Sunday. See you on the radio, as Mr. McKenzie would say. I hope he gets well soon, and we are missing him. Good night, all.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Thank you so much to all of you wonderful people. You could have done something else with your time, but you chose to be with us for the past 2-3 hours or so, and we are grateful for your presence. You made it possible that we could have a good show, and I'm sure I enjoyed it. And nevertheless, I hope the many fans who have listened would have enjoyed it as immensely. So good night, all. God bless. And here is what Beckett has to say.
Australia, Bangladesh, Bermuda and Canada, England, the Netherlands, India and Ireland, New Zealand, Kenya, Pakistan and Scotland, South Africa, Zimbabwe and Sri Lanka, administrators, players and fans, welcome to World Cup Cricket in the Caribbean. Welcome to the best place in the world. Welcome to the best game in the world. Every man and woman, every boy and girl, welcome to the best place in the world. Welcome, welcome, welcome one and all. Welcome, let's have a ball. We want you to have real fun in these islands under the sun. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to the best place in the world. Welcome to the best game in the world. Every man and woman, every boy and girl, welcome to the best place in the world. We'll be right back.
Up in the air, 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 up. When he starts to play like a trumpet song. Women waving flags, fellas rolling on the ground. In the series with India, when he team up with Lara, Tendulkar wanted to pack up and go back home. So tell them in India, Pakistan and Australia, there's a new star in the Caribbean sky. We have great cricket heroes in an unbroken line, and the latest of them is Shiv Narayan. Four through the covers, get them. Straight down the wicket, get them. Two in the gully, get them. Get them Shiv, get them Shiv. Come on the left side, one up. Come on the offside, one up. Come with a bouncer, one up. Boodoo, one up, kitty, cut up. Come better, come and let me lick down the bowling. Come better, come and let me lick down the bowling. Come better, come and let me lick down the bowling. The first time Shiv come to the wicket, West Indian say what he know about cricket. Looking so mager, looking so young, send him back to beat toss a drum. But straight back Shiv can't worry about that. Going forward a playing back, and Shiv begin to deliver. Runs begin to come in a river. Man, he making 50 like nothing. Man, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 and 7. Man, when he make 100 in beige and tongue. Man, Shiv the dung and he kiss the ground. Man, father came Raj, mother woman. Man, the proudest people in Guyana. Man, a 5 foot 10 tiger, 10 feet tall. Man, a new star in the Caribbean sky. We have great cricket heroes in an unbroken line, and the latest of them is Shiv Narayan. Four to the cover, get them. Straight down the wicket, get them. Two in the gully, get them. Get them Shiv, get them Shiv. Come on the leg side, what up? Come on the offside, what up? Come with the bouncer, what up? Boodoo, what up? Get it, cut up. Four to the cover, get them. Straight down the wicket, get them. Two in the gully, get them. Get them Shiv, get them Shiv. Come on the leg side, one up. Come on the offside, one up. Come with the bouncer, one up. Boodoop, what up, get it, cut up. Whether Australia, get them. England or India, get them. Even Sri Lanka, get them. Get them Shiv, get them Shiv. No matter who bowling, one up. Ask Michael Holden, one up. The fella in folding, one up. Boodoop, what up, get it, cut up. Come and let me lick down the bowling. Come better, come and let me lick down the bowling. Come better, come and let me lick down the bowling. Come better, come and let me lick down the bowling. Come better, come and let me lick down the bowling. Come better, come and let me lick down the bowling. Come better, come and let me lick down the bowling. Come better, come and let me lick down the bowling. Come better, come and let me lick down the bowling. Come better, come and let me lick down the bowling. Come better, come and let me lick down the bowling. Come better, come and let me lick down the bowling. Come better, come and let me lick down the bowling. Come better, come and let me lick down the bowling. Come better, come and let me lick down the bowling.
I was there on a sea. Nobody can doubt me because I was there on a sea. Right after the tea interval, this thing set off in Queen's Park Oval. From the time the ran single run out, I don't know where all this bottle and stone come out, but it was bottle and stone riot in Queen's Park Oval. And the whole test must turn like a carnival. Had to hide me clean head inside a canal to get away from the big scandal right in the middle of the federal capital. After we had such good sport in them, one little thing turned wrong and make a was him. It will take about 15 years or more to get back this good name, I am sure. So MCC, take this apology, please, from Trinidad, right now, and the West Indies. Because was Paddle and Stone rioting Prince back over. And the whole Testament turned like a carnival. Had to hide me clean head inside a canal to get away from the big scandal right in the middle of the federal capital. Governor came out on the field. They started raising their hands up, signaling the rioters to stop. Oh, brother, but they kept on belting and shouting to bring back Charanting. Then I only a fling like a butterfly. It nearly licked the premier glasses from the eye. So all this bottle and stone rioting Prince back over. And the whole Testament turned like a carnival. Had to hide me clean head inside a canal, just like last year in front of the hospital, right in the middle of the federal capital. Things won't happen no more, because I sure every one of you understand West Indian backbone of cricket is England. The same Charanting wouldn't get the run, might be in Lancashire League in a few months to come. And when he come back to the West Indies, we have to call him Sir Charanting if he please. So all this Scotland stone rioting Queen's Park over. Man, I didn't see the same for all this big bacchanal. What a shame and a disgrace to know Constantine was right in place to snatch a bottle right in front the governor's face.
Beneath